I think we're good to go. This
All
is
right.
Number 133, eh?
That is right.
All right.
You letting a little French Canadian show through, eh?
Yeah. The boot. The boot time.
Does that feel natural? Dream.
My family, they were like French Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have like the traditional Canadian accent.
Gotcha.
They had much more like a nasally.
Oh.
Dirty Frenchy Creole type of a vibe going on.
Interesting.
Very nasally. Like,
oh.
Very nasally.
Huh.
I have some, like,
I can't even imagine that.
I have some, like, home videos of my, like, great aunts and stuff like that. And you're just like, oh, I can't even, like, listen to her talk. It's, so nasal.
All I have in my family is Southern, you know, country stuff. So I'm sure it's still more pleasant to listen to than that.
I don't know. Southern stuff is, like, it's laid back.
It is. It is.
All that. The nasally stuff is, like, it's very harsh. They're very harsh and abrupt.
I can understand that.
Yeah, because they're just cold and bitter.
That's not you.
No, it's not, because no. I wasn't raised up there.
Oh, okay.
My parents got me out of there, thank goodness.
Well, I'm glad they did.
Yeah, me too. We're recording here.
Oh, yeah, we are.
I love my family. I don't want to talk bad about them. Well, actually, most of them are all dead, so. These are the ones that are long since passed.
I'm glad we don't have bitter Brian, I'll say that.
No, I'm not bitter at all.
No,
I love my family. Cool. All right. Ready?
Yes.
Welcome everybody to episode number 133 of the Goulet Pencast, where fountain pens are still a thing. I am Brian Goulet.
I am Drew Brown.
And we're here from Goulet Pens to deliver this casual and informal, tangential and extraneous, superfluous and extemporaneous fountain pen show, where we talk about what's going on at the Goulet Pen Company and in our fountain pen lives. In today's show, we're going to be talking about our favorite Pelican inks of the years.
Mm-hmm.
Ink of the years?
Inks
of the years? I don't know how to say that.
Passersby attorneys general.
That's right. We're going to be talking about the shelf life of the shelf life of ink as a retailer and what we do as a retailer to minimize that shelf life and whatnot. Pens that we wish came in more colors. Or colorways, as the question was specifically asked. Color with a U. So yes, fancy. Lamy cursive nibs. We haven't talked about those in a minute. Our dream pen collabs. And we're going to do a meet the team with Kay, who is delightful. And I think y'all are going to love interacting with Kay if you haven't already. She's on our customer care team. That's what we got today. We'll start it off with some feedback.
That's a great idea, Brian.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, I just thought, like,
you know,
maybe this time
it felt
we should go into feedback right
now. I was thinking
the
same thing. I'm like, you know, now would be a good time
for
that.
It just feels natural.
It
you know,
does.
It feels
I
like the right thing.
Can't explain
do.
Why.
Yeah.
Anne Strasco, hello. Anne says, I finally ordered my Bennu Earl Grey
mm-hmm.
this weekend and ordered a sticker to go with it because the dragon sticker has the Earl Grey Bennu Euphoria with it.
Yes.
Anne Strasco is going to be happy, and so is her dragon.
Yes.
Because now her dragon has two Bennu Earl Grey Euphorias to cuddle up with. Hooray
and
for that.
We mentioned this to Rachel, and she was like, why? I should totally put that sticker on the Bennu product page.
So yeah.
It's like, why not?
Click.
Put it on there.
Sticker.
Make it easy for anybody who's buying it.
Wonderful. So. Heather Marie Plans says, my Decimo has the stamping very small P422, which means April 2022 is when her pilot was born.
Well, there you go.
I ordered this last year, late summer. What a fun thing to find out. Thank you for sharing. Well, Heather, a lot of folks joined
last year,
you in
late summer. Okay, so it was like over a year.
Yeah.
After being made. Yeah.
One person commented and said that it was a 2024 from like, you know, April or something. So I was like, ooh, that one's
quick.
Fresh out of the oven.
Fresh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun. So if you are curious, you know, watch last episode. We went into depth about pilots' date codes and how you can find out when your pilot pen was manufactured.
Yes.
Fun. We learned something too.
Yes.
Kirby Nix says, sounds like we need a pen spotlight for the Twisby Precision. Obviously, Kirby taking a dig at old Drew Brown because I consistently forget that the Twisby Precision exists and all of the unique things that would make the Twisby Precision the correct answer to things, because it's just not on my mind. We already did do a pen spotlight on that in episode 72, so that's not gonna help, Kirby. It's just destined to not be in my brain wrinkles.
We actually keep a spreadsheet now of all the pen spotlights and things like that we've done, because you know,
we can't be trusted.
Once I think it's once we got to around like 60 or 70 episodes, it was like, okay, we officially can't remember what we've talked about and what we haven't. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway,
yep. So curious. I'm just going to consistently forget about the precision. I don't want to. I like it, but it's just not, it's not part of me.
We'll have to change that somehow.
I guess so. Brent McCune says, how is it that Drew is always wearing loud, colorful shirts, yet he likes brown pants? Well, Brent, I guess shirts are the only thing that I like to have excessive amounts of pizzazz in.
You have some pizzazzy shoes.
Yeah. I've got some pretty crazy shoes. But other like
mine are all like gray and black,
but like clothing is different. Like I would not want a loud car. I would not want loud pens. Like I have a Banu, but I haven't like bought a bunch of crazy looking pens, like a bunch of.
Even the Banus you have, like you have the iced caramel latte.
That's the only one I have.
That's not a crazy.
No.
I mean, I guess by most pen standards, that's still a pretty crazy pen, but it's not crazy for Banu.
Sure. No, no.
It's like one of the most subtle colors they've ever
done. I don't seek out crazy pens. I don't know why. That just doesn't appeal to me. And, you know, whenever I've purchased things from home, I like navy and brown a lot, and gray. I think navy and gray look great together, and I think brown and navy look good together.
You like tweed too.
I do. So
you have a lot of tweed items.
I do have a lot of tweed items. Do you own
a tweed jacket? With elbow patches, like a professor.
I would love one. I have.
Do you wear through your elbows? Is that a thing?
Mm,
I know people who are like they wear through their elbows all the time, and I'm like, I never wear through.
I will eventually, I'm sure. I'm considering like one of my jean jackets wearing down, but no, I have a suit that is a it's a wool suit. I think it's technically tweed, but it's not like that kind of chevron style tweed. It's more of like a plaid tweed. But it's a very, very subtle plaid. But it's brown.
I'm realizing right now I don't actually know what tweed really is. Because I thought it was just, I thought it was the chevron pattern.
Tweed is a fabric.
It's a fabric?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's a...
I thought it was a pattern or like a weave of some kind.
It is a, well, it's a, no, it's a weave of fabric. What but the pattern, it can have, tweed? You can do plaid, tweed, or, you know.
It's a rough woolen fabric of a soft, open, flexible texture resembling cheviot. Or homespun, but more closely woven. I don't.
But like rickshaw
know
makes
what either of those things.
Rickshaw
are.
Makes tweed pen cases, and some of them have a plaid pattern.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, like a. Okay. So I think the weave might be more chevron-y, but it can be.
Harris tweed. It's got the herringbone.
Okay. Harris tweed is like the legit tweed. That's like tweed of tweeds.
That's like the tweedest tweed you can tweed.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I didn't grow up with tweed. Tweed was a thing I discovered later in life.
I will say that my tweed pants are very hot.
Well, yeah, they're wool, right?
Yeah, like, and itchy. And very itchy.
Yeah. Oh, there's plaid. Okay. I'm on the Wikipedia page for tweed.
All right.
This is how I like look up most things that I don't know
it
about. I'm like,
just about every morning meeting, something gets discussed and Brian hops on his laptop to figure out.
I gotta know about the backstory behind
a random topic. All right, it's your turn to do feedback.
Okay, I will stop looking at tweed pictures. All right. Oh, boy. Let's see if I can get this name right. Jennifer? Jennifer. There we go. It's literally just spelled Jennifer.
That's probably right.
All right. Jennifer says, welcome to the 40s, Brian. It's an interesting decade when you get hurt doing normal/nothing things. It's really fun when you wake up injured. I went to sleep one night fine and woke up the next morning with a swollen knee. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Jennifer. Yes. We didn't say this at the top of the episode, but I did turn 40 this week. As you guys are watching this, maybe on Friday or later, I will definitely be 40. Well, I'm 40 right now.
Maybe you will have woken up with a swollen knee by then.
Maybe.
I'm worried about
the whole... I hurt my back a week and a half ago, so...
Yeah. I'm worried about the whole, like, injury as a result of sneezing.
Oh, that's definitely going to happen with me because my sneezes are violent.
Yours are, yeah.
I don't think I've sneezed on the PenCast yet, but if I do,
no, we wouldn't.
It's going to peak. It's going to peak the audio. It'll freak all of you out, especially if you're wearing headphones. But it hasn't happened yet. 133 episodes. I haven't sneezed yet on the PenCast. I don't think. Have I sneezed on the PenCast? Any of you loyal PenCast viewers? I think you would know if I did. I don't remember all the times I sneezed.
We'll have to ask Natalie. She's our pen cast stat girl.
Yeah, so as we're recording this on Tuesday, it is my actual 40th birthday, which is a thing. I mean, you're well experienced into your 40s here, Drew. It's been well over a month now.
Oh, I remember my 30s.
That's right.
Almost as if it were several months ago.
That's right. So for the last month, Drew and I have been able to poke fun at each other, me for saying how old and out of touch and whatnot, and he gets to talk about how young and naive I am. But now we're both old and out of touch.
Now you and Rachel get to tease each other.
Yes. That's been a thing for me and Rachel for the last 22 years, basically, because her birthday is mid-May. So for like 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks here, I get to joke with her about how young she is, especially now with like a decade difference in between. You know, we literally joked about it this morning. So anyway, so yeah, that is fun. Fun fact, I've never broken anything, never broken a bone in my body.
Same.
I was not hospitalized other than my birth until I've never actually like stayed overnight in a hospital. Like I've gone for my kids and I've had like outpatient stuff for just random things.
But yeah. I've never been hospitalized either. You know, wisdom teeth getting out was the closest thing to surgery I ever got. Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have my wisdom teeth. 32. Chompers.
Good job.
Every time I get my teeth cleaned, they're like, oh my God, it just keeps going.
It's like a shark.
Yeah. Anyway. So fun fact, I've never broken a bone or anything like that, but in high school, I sprained my ankle while doing homework. So this clearly wasn't an age thing, but I was literally like at the table, it was like a Sunday night doing homework for like hour and a half, 2 hours. And my foot started to really hurt. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And so I like sort of like hobbled upstairs to go to bed. And the pain was so intense, I like literally like blacked out on the bed. And then I woke up and my ankle was like the size of a softball.
What did you do?
I did nothing that day. I hadn't left the house. I didn't do anything physical. So, and I was sitting at the kitchen table doing homework for like 2 hours when my ankle sprained itself. So that, I get to joke, that's like the most injury I've ever had, was spraining my ankle while doing homework.
Wow.
I was 15. I got it x-rayed and everything. And they were like, no, you just sprained it. I was like, how?
I haven't heard that story.
Yep.
Wow.
There you go. Insight into Brian's physicality. Which, quick update, I mentioned my back was hurt last time. My back is great now. I'll talk about more of that and what's happening. But just in case y'all were worried, worry no more. I'm going to live forever. I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm falling apart because I'm 40 now, right? All right. Next one we have is from how do you pronounce this, Drew? Coification. Okay. I wanted to say koala. Koalification, because that's like a
good
dad joke, you know. Anyway. Brian's use case for high capacity pens is not at all unique. Many people, including myself, simply value the utility of having so much ink in your pen that you rarely need to fill it and it's always ready to go. Boom. There you go.
You're not alone.
Those of us who don't clean their pens. I've now had the same pens in my backpack for like probably 2 months. I keep carrying them back and forth from home and work. And every time I'm at work, I'm like, I don't have time to clean these. I'll do it at home. And I get to home and just life is happening. I'm like, I'm too tired. I'll just do it at work. And then it's every day, it's that same thing. I'm like, I'm just never going to clean these pens. We'll deal. It's fine. I'll just keep buying more pens. You know, it's like, I'm not going to do laundry. I'm just going to buy more underwear. Anyway, Christy W says, Tractor Sax Solo would be epic.
There were a lot of comments about this, Brian.
I did say, if y'all wanted to see it, that you need to let us know. And I don't know why I was surprised, because this is the Pencast, and y'all want to see it, all the weirdest things.
Yes.
So I'm not going to do anything right now, but I may have a special birthday surprise for you all in what's happening. So don't skip ahead. Just, you know, enjoy the Pencast. There will be a payoff towards the end. All right, and then we have last comment here. Observe the cathedral. I would like a matte category. Talking about matte finish pens from last week. You could just put the most obvious matte pens in it. People care for both look and feel. Okay, so, you know, we talked about how difficult it would be for some of those pens where it's like, you're not quite sure if it's matte or not.
And the satiny ones.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could So you can make an argument that, like, yeah, just put the most obvious ones in there. But the problem is all the ones that are kind of in the middle there, some people are going to think it's obvious that they're matte. Other people won't. So we're still going to get feedback one way or the other that we should or shouldn't have certain ones in there. But I get it. But that's just something we can consider. You know, there's definitely some that I feel like could be very clearly identified as matte pens. But
yeah, because I mean, it's interesting. Demonstrator is another tricky one that you get that kind of has to be subjective.
Demonstrator is one that, like, it's, I mean, there are some pens that are like called demonstrators or named demonstrators or whatever, but then you have like transparent and translucent and all that. And it's like, how much opacity is it no longer a demonstrator? Or what if it's just part of the body and not the whole thing? So there are no rules to any of this. Yeah. We're just making it up as we go. So we'll give it some thought. That's I can see a case for that.
Yeah. We can continue making stuff up.
Yep. Okay. That's it for feedback. Let's talk about new stuff. All right. I got some new things. Drew, do you like pen cases?
From time to time, yes. Tell me, I'd like to hear more about them.
I like pen cases. Do you like denim?
I love denim.
Would you think that those two might marry together well? Denim and pen cases?
Yes. Well,
because that has happened.
I've seen denim knife handles. Why not pen cases?
That's kind of cool.
It is pretty cool.
That's like... not like soft denim, right? It's like cast and resin or something.
It's like denim micarta.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
It is pretty rad.
That is kind of cool. I'm into that. No, this is from Girologio. They have some not cast and resin. These are soft denim, kind of like you would have on your pants or jacket if you're cool enough. So these are three different cases that we'll have available. There's a 12 pen case, a 24 pen case, and the 48 pen case, which is... that's a commitment right there. But like dollar per pen stored is a pretty good value.
That's like a whole pair of pants on that one.
Yeah. 12 pen case, $44. 24 pen, $62.80. $4,804. That's like $2 per pen. Maybe a little over. That's not bad. Not bad in pen case land.
It's cheaper than buying 48 single rickshaw sleeves.
It's a lot cheaper than doing that. I don't know what the math is on that, but it's less. So yeah, go check those out. They're kind of cool. And they've got like the, you know, the leathery looking, logo on the back with the Girologio. Yep. So it kind of looks pants-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of neat if you're, you know, want a pen case, but you don't want the like leathery kind of a feel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the feeling of these ones. They're nice and soft. So yeah, we got those available and they're new. Go check those out. If you're familiar with Girologio, it's the inside is very similar to most of their other cases. And then we have a new Euphoria. This is the Steamboat Master. So you may recognize a beloved rodent character who recently entered the public domain. this is a hand-painted pen, which Banu has been absolutely killing it this year with hand-painted pens. This one, though, I don't think is a limited edition. I don't think it's numbered or anything. It's just regular, you know.
They're going to hand-paint a lot of these.
Sailing down the river with their steamboat. $280, so it's definitely more than a regular Euphoria because it's hand-painted. It's like work to do that, but it looks pretty cool. Very colorful, very much an homage to the original Steamboat Willie. So go check those out. And that's what I got. Drew, you got a lot of bullet points here. What
I got
in
some
the
stuff.
World? What is all this?
We're not going to bullet all the points. I do want to talk about the new Opus 88 pen because new and Opus 88 are not two words that we usually say in this pencast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we are going to start carrying the Opus 88 Mini. So that is a new model for us. It is an Opus 88, so it does have that Japanese-style eyedropper filling method where you just fill the whole barrel, but then you've got that plunger slash... seal that you can operate. But it came about because of something we were talking about here. And I had said that I like the Japanese eyedropper method of filling. Mm-hmm. However, I don't need all that capacity. Why don't they have more mini pens that utilize that? And I think I said that I'd love to have like a Nexus mini or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we received a ton of comments notifying me that, Drew, they make a mini Opus 88 already. They have for years. And I was like,
I just missed that one. Yeah.
Well, Adrian had been championing for this pen for a while because she has the Cheer Kitty version. And she was like, hey, we should do this.
Right.
And we were like, yeah, okay.
The cat looked familiar.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one she's got.
It just never got traction, and I guess we forgot about it. But then everybody in the comments was like, no, Drew, what you want is already here. So we're going to do it. Thank you for that. Yeah. So, like I said, Opus 88 Mini, Cheer Kitty, and Stripe. So we're just starting with two different colors at this point. They're both only $79, which is pretty rad. They both have a Yovo number 5 steel nib and a ton of ink capacity in a small package. So great news for you. Hopefully, I'm curious. I hope they do well because they have a lot of other colors and have also known to work with retailers for exclusives. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, let us know. Not in the comments by buying them. How you like it.
Or both.
Yes, both ideally. Is fine. Yeah, both is fine. Okay, and then Clairefontaine. We've got a bunch of really cool stuff from Clairefontaine, y'all. These are new products direct from France, so we are the only people that have them at the time.
In the U.S. at least.
In the U.S. at least, yes, sir.
Yeah. We had to like special order them. It was a whole thing.
Took a while, but we wanted them for you because we think they're cool. We think you're going to like them. They are coming in three different styles, so three different art styles. The first is known as Ikebana, which... Brian, that is a take on a term called Ikebana, but they're adding the ink in there to make it,
It's clever.
That one is, all three of these designs are slightly floral in nature, but this one is like a navy blue and white situation. They look really cool. You can get some wire-bound stuff. You can get some staple-bound stuff. There's, everything here is less than $20. So
for those curious, Ikebana is a... traditional Japanese method of arranging flowers.
Yeah, there you go.
And these
this is the inky,
flowery
inky, inky Ikebana.
So it's an arrangement of inky flowers.
Yeah.
Not real flowers. They're like artwork of
flowers. Yeah, it's like the silhouette of flowers almost. Yeah. The impression of
flowers. They look really cool though.
They do. And so these are all going to be assorted, but they are pretty uniform in their style. So if you like one style, you're going to like the other one. It's not too crazy. Mm-hmm.
And the texture is the same on all of them too. It's like that...
it's a little matte.
It's like a matte. It's not like most of the, like all the Clairefontaine classic stuff, that's all really shiny. Mm-hmm. This stuff's not like that at all, which I actually kind of dig because we've carried some other, we've done some that have been like shiny glossy with Clairefontaine. There's some that have been like more of a matte, but still really slick. But these are not slick. These are like very textured. Kind of like if you're familiar with the Clairefontaine Basics collection, it's like that thick like cardstock type thing with like a bumpy kind of textury thing. It feels really cool.
Yeah, so more than meets the eye. Mm. And then we've got another set called Clairefontaine La Vie en Rouge. And those have more of a kind of, they look more of like a park, more evergreen looking. So more greens than blues like the Ikebana does. All very cool. Again, assorted A5 sort of stuff. We've got wire bound. We've got hardcover stuff. I'll let you take a look at that, but we will throw some pictures up for you to look at now. And then finally...
There you go. We had to Google Translate this morning because we were like, we're not native French speakers, but it's like, it definitely sounds different than the way that it's spelled out. So we were like,
La Vie en Rouge.
La Vie en Rouge.
And then finally we have Cyanotype, which is also a predominantly blue situation, but kind of like the inverse, whereas the Ikebana is blue background with white flowers. This one's kind of the inverse of that, but still very cool. Again, all of these are... assorted, but you're still going to have a cohesion in terms of color variety and design. So it's not going to be like, oh, wow, I like this green, and then a pink is going to show up. It's nothing like that. So don't be afraid of the assortment in this case. But again, we will have all of these products linked down below for you to check them out. And you can always go to the main webpage of GouletPens.com and then just click on either what's new or coming soon, and you can see everything we're talking about here.
Awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Well, normally we would go into company updates here, but we don't really have anything to update. So we're going to...
We do.
Do we?
This week, we should be publishing a video...
Oh, that's right.
...of my fountain pen hot takes.
Ooh.
Now, I took off my retailer hat for this one, Brian, and I...
You get a little spicy in this
one. I made some comments.
You do have some hot takes.
I made some comments that I don't believe you would entirely agree with.
You ran some of these by me before, and I was like, oof, that is a hot take. That is... You're
I feel
poking,
what I
the,
feel.
Poking the beehive
I
on this one.
I feel what I feel, man.
So, yeah, y'all need to give Drew some feedback. Uncandid, like, not like nice fountain pen community YouTube feedback, but like real open world YouTube feedback.
Open world. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, Twitch feedback or something
like
that. Ooh,
that's, TikTok feedback.
Oh.
Yeah, some raw.
Oh. Don't call down that thunder.
No, maybe not that much. But like, you know. Anyway, let Drew know what you think.
Yeah. So that'll
be
some
hot takes. So it should be fun.
Maybe we'll have seen it already and, you know, gave me some grief about it.
You want to go back and lay it on thicker. You can do that. Open invitation. Cool. That's it for now on the company updates front. Let's go into some Q&A, shall we?
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
We've got our old friend Noah C. Tench writing in this week. And
what's up, Noah?
Noah says, what are y'all's favorite Pelican ink of the year?
So, Drew,
yes, sir.
I read this question the first time, I was thinking, okay, Pelican Ink of the Year, I sort of like got that favorite. I read it as like favorites, plural. Mm-hmm. And then I saw your notes because you got into it before me and you had more than one.
I did a top three.
And my brain just went to, let me rank all of them. Now, I kind of forgot how many they had done, but it's like a dozen
at this
point because they've been doing it since I think 2012.
Wow.
Was that the first one? So I end up ranking all of them, but I mean, I really only feel super strongly about the first few. So
I was surprised by number one.
You were surprised by number one? I will say number one, two, and honestly, number three are pretty darn close for me.
I was also surprised what took last place.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. What is your number one favorite
Pelican? That one in last place, I don't think is appropriate. That's not what I meant.
Oh, okay.
No, that one
Because that one's notoriously popular.
It is.
All right, nobody knows what we're talking
about.
Okay. So we are talking about Pelican Edelstein. So if you're not familiar, that's like a separate collection from Pelican's kind of 4001 series. These are the ones they come out with once a year. They sometimes usually pair a pen with it as well.
Oftentimes,
But so why don't you... What's your number one?
Well, I didn't go off the pen. This is just purely off the ink.
Of course.
So number one that I had was Golden Lapis this year's.
And that's the newest one.
It's the newest one.
I was like, whoa, hold on, Brian. Have you had enough time with it for it really to surpass
to
all
fair,
these other ones?
Probably not. Probably not. But it's my blue.
It is
like,
a very bright
color. Shade. It's like very vibrant blue.
It is.
It's just, you know.
I was surprised and not surprised.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Something in me just really lights up when I see that shade of blue. So that one's a pretty safe bet that I'm going to be really into that blue.
And your second?
My second one, very close second, was Appetite.
I was not surprised by that one.
It's a great color.
I
love teals as well.
Teal is
like my close number two second color.
Yeah, I like Appetite better than Golden Lapis.
Yeah?
It's very rich.
It was very close.
Yeah.
You know, probably once I spend a little more time with Golden Lapis, I'll be able to say if it still like holds up. But it's like Golden Lapis is new and it's just like it left such an impression when I first saw it on paper, you know, because you had done some writing samples with it and you were like, yeah, it's fine, it's another blue. And then I saw it and I was like, it's my blue.
Yeah.
So I am into that, but I'm also not like, I'm not super into shimmer in all my inks either.
Neither am I.
So like, but a lot of these inks have shimmer,
especially the newer ones.
The newer ones, there's a lot of shimmer happening. So, you know, didn't hold it back for me. Still great, but
ever since Golden Barrel showed up,
and
that just exploded in popularity.
Golden Barrel's pretty hot.
I think that Edelstein was like, we should keep doing this.
It was before that. Didn't Moonstone have
I
thought that had.
I think Moonstone was flat.
Too?
If it does have shimmer, it's very little. Because if you look at the swab, I didn't see any shimmer.
Yeah, let me take a look at that. Maybe I'm mistaken about that. Oh, we don't.
It
have
looks
a lot
pretty
of...
flat.
No, it's got shimmer.
It does.
Yep.
Wow, it doesn't look like it. You can't really see it.
Oh, maybe that's the pen. I don't know. So we have a blog post that has the ink of the year history for Pelican, and it's got both the ink and the pen. But we don't have a ton of detail about all these. It could be that the ink was not shimmer, but the pen had shimmer in it. So
pen definitely did.
I don't remember. I haven't used Moonstone in a while. Anyway, I'm jumping my line here because Moonstone is further down on my list. So Golden Lapis number one for me. Appetite was a very, very close second. It's a very vibrant teal color and it's hot. That was from 2022. The next one for me, also maybe not a surprise, was Aquamarine. Now this was a special edition color, but it actually is now back as a regular edition color. So you can just pick it up any day you want, in the regular Edelstein lineup. That was a special edition from 2016. It's a little bit darker, a little deeper than Appetite, not quite as vibrant. It's more of like but it's got a lot of shimmer to it as well. So it's almost like an Emerald of Chivor, but without the sparkles. It's it's got a heavy sheen to it. So that one's cool. Next one I had, so most of them from here on out, I'm kind of like, not as crazy about all of them in like the particular order. But I put Olivine next. This is from 2018. It's hard to get like a really nice olive color. Like you can have them be way too yellow and then it just looks gross. But this one's really nice. It's like a nice dark olive color. And I think they did a really good job with this one. And it just really stands out in Pelican's lineup. So
yeah,
I really like that one. Next I had Amethyst. This is another one like dark purples. You know, they can sometimes be like too gray, too pink, but this one was really nice. I thought the color was really good. That was from 2015. The next one is like, this is Tourmaline. This is from 2012. And I remember the first time, this was when Edelstein had basically was brand new. They'd come out, I think they came out with Edelstein in 2011, maybe. I have early videos, terribly shot videos of me using Edelstein for the first time. But anyway, so they came out with the Tourmaline. Rachel put Tourmaline in everything for like that whole first year before we knew like what the ink of the year thing was really going to be and how long. No, it's like a pink. It's like a, like a Yamabuto, not quite as dark as that, but it's like a bright pink, but she just loved that color and she put it in freaking everything. So I cleaned a lot of pens out with Tourmaline because Rachel doesn't clean her pens. I clean them. I'll clean my own pens. I clean hers more than I clean mine, honestly. But that was a really great color. And I think we bought like several bottles of that when we knew that the ink of the year was ending because she liked it so much. So that one is definitely her favorite of the bunch. Next one I had after that was Golden Barrel 2021. So it's not the most practical everyday use ink, but there's not a lot. There's like a couple of good, like really yellow inks, like a usable yellow ink that's got like gold shimmer in it. Yeah. This one has got a boatload of shimmer in it. So it's like a bit much. You definitely wouldn't want to like journal a lot with this thing because it'd be a lot, you know, to look back on. But it's just a really cool color. It's like a Diamine Golden Sands.
Very similar.
Kind of a vibe. Or there's the Robert Oster one that I can't ever remember the name of it.
Aussie Liquid Gold.
Yeah. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like it's in that.
Aussie. Sorry.
Sorry. Get it right, Drew.
Aussie. I have been authorized now.
There you go. And then Amber after that from 2013. It's like a sepia.
Yes.
Like
yes.
A darker brownish yellow.
I like that one.
That one's fine. After that, Moonstone from 2020. It's gray. It's fine.
It's a nice gray.
Drew likes it a lot. There's a lot of grays. There's a lot of grays out there. So it's like not going to make me jump out of bed. After that, Smoky Quartz 2017. That one's weird. Like Smoky Quartz, I think of like should be a gray or like a black, but this is like a dark brown.
Yeah.
So like it just cognitive dissonance in my brain. I'm like the color is probably accurate to like the gemstone or something.
Probably. It's very different depending on what type of pen you're using. Like when I was swabbing it, I saw brown. When I actually wrote with it, I didn't see any.
Really?
But I was using like probably an extra fine though. So it's different in terms of
it looks pretty dang brown.
How it's saturated.
In the swab, it looks really brown. I mean, well, it's a nice brown.
Look at the plops though. Like you see how that is like.
Oh yeah, it really is like.
Yeah. Like I got a lot of that when I was writing
with
a fine nib.
That's interesting.
Depends on how it's saturated.
Maybe I should give that one a second pass. Because it is interesting. You know, any ink that's got like dynamism to its color range, I find interesting. So
dynamism.
Yes. So anyway. I'm over explaining all these. Rose Quartz after that, 2023. This was last year's. It's pink. It's fine. I'm not a huge, like, light pink fan. If I want to use a pink ink, I'm going to use something more towards the magenta range. So it's just a bit light for my taste. It's a pleasant color, though. Second to last is Star Ruby from 2019. It's just like a pinky red kind of a thing. And then Garnet from 2014 is the last on my list. It's just a red. I'm just not a big light red, light pink ink fan. Like, I don't like most light inks anyway. I like them to be like punch you in the eyes saturated. Mm-hmm. I've kind of always been that way. So most of the inks that make it to the bottom of my list are like the lighter, weaker colors.
I agree.
There's nothing wrong with them. Like, this is my taste.
I agree with you on your last two. Star Ruby and Garnet are my least two favorite. Now, here's the difference, though. I do like a light pink.
Yeah.
What I don't like is a weak red. And I think there's a difference
there. There's a fine line there.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with light pinks. Okay. As long as I can see it and it's legible, I'm down for a light pink.
Like a pure pink.
Yeah, it has to be a pink though.
Rose quartz is a pretty pure pink.
Yeah, rose quartz is nice. But when it just becomes a watery red, like that's just, I can't click with that. And it's just kind of weak. It's just a weak red. And just like be pink. Come on, just be pink.
See, there's tourmaline.
I love that. Yeah.
That's a nice color.
I like that one. Yeah, tourmaline's a nice pink.
Yeah.
My number one favorite is Moonstone. I remember really liking the shading on that one.
Really?
Now, it's been years since I've tried it, but I remember really liking it. To be fair,
Star Ruby is a little more magenta than I remember. Yeah, that one's fine,
but like, why don't you just use tourmaline?
Because they don't make it anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
The pen did look cool, though, for Star Ruby.
Yeah, that is nice. I will say.
That one it's kind of missed that one. When did Star Ruby come out? 2019. Okay. It was like,
who knows what was going on.
Yeah.
My second favorite is Olivine. I love that. Again, shading. Both Moonstone and Olivine had great shading. And then my third is Appetite. That was such a saturated, punchy color for Edelstein. Edelstein's not known for having very saturated colors.
Yeah.
But this one looks fantastic. And I never got to ink up Amber, but looking at this, retrospective here, I kind of miss it. And I wish that I had got my hands on that.
I'm pretty sure I have one if you do want to try it.
There are other analogs for it these days, but I think I would have liked it. And I love Golden Barrel for what it was and how popular it was, but it's just not for me. It's just a little bit too much for me.
I remember the time that it came out, it was super popular.
It was.
Because, Pelican hadn't really done a just gobsmacked shimmer bonanza like that before. Cool. Anyway, there you go. That's what we think. Y'all have opinions, you can let us know what they are.
And we'll link the link to this Edelstein kind of collection page so that you can peruse it.
I will say we still have like five maybe of the previous ones in stock.
Yeah, we might still have some Moonstone.
Yeah, some of the most recent ones. Moonstone was still available. Yeah. And some of the more recent ones, Rose Quartz and all that. So we still have those. All right, moving on. Richard Soma has a question for you, Drew. As a retailer, is there a shelf life to ink? Is it ever too old to sell?
Yes, there is a shelf life. And yes, it can be too old to sell. Now, that being said, really nothing under perfect circumstances, ink should last forever. If it's in, a vacuum chamber and—
Maybe not forever. Eventually the glass will like break down after a 500,000 years or so. And
there we go. That's why Brian's here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
But no, what really would most likely happen is, while you could absolutely tip bottles upside down and nothing's going to leak out of them, that doesn't mean that they are 100% airtight. Most bottles, after being left for years, will have some evaporation take place. And you will see the level, lower considerably. So, and that's why buying really old vintage ink is a little bit tricky. Like, you've got the whole Parker Penman Sapphire. At this point, even buying a brand new bottle of Penman Sapphire, you're not going to get Even if it was never opened, you're not going to get that original color because there has been some evaporation. I don't care how tightly that thing has been sealed. It's going to happen. So you're going to need to dilute it and try to bring it back.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. So that can happen. Mold isn't really as much of an issue unless there was already something introduced into the bottle when it was bottled. So that, yes, sure, that can grow over time. But honestly, if something ooky is already in there, it's not going to take much time on the shelf for that to happen. It's not really a length issue that you need to worry about. It's where was this bottled issue.
We very rarely see that. Like,
we haven't in years.
When we see moldy ink, usually it's from a bottle that somebody's had for years and they've been using, and it's oftentimes environmental factors from using the ink.
So many variables.
We've had people that have had moldy ink, and then it turns out their apartment that they were living in had mold issues, and it was in their environment.
Yeah, and so, we don't know what's in these inks. So some inks might, quote unquote, go bad in different ways or evaporate at different speeds than other inks. And, you've got the bottles to take into account as well as far as capping, bottles A, B, C, and D might cap completely different than, E, F, G, and H. So a lot of variables, though. We don't see that happening on our shelves, and I'll tell you why. So we have a couple of team members here at the Goulet Pen Company who spend a lot of time, effort, and energy and brain power to make sure that for a lot of reasons, we have the right amount of stock of the right products. And that can, there's a lot of reasons for that. A, like we don't want to spend money on stuff that's not going to sell.
Right.
But B, you know, we want to be conscious of warehouse space. We want to make sure that we're not overstocked and just kind of cluttering up areas that don't need to be cluttered. Mm-hmm. And C, we don't want stuff sitting there forever. So, and that's just the three things I could come up with. There's probably like at least 10 reasons to just keep the right amount of stuff of the right products. But because we pay so close attention to that, that means that if we've got, you know, an ink that we know is, you know, we're not going to discontinue it because some people still like it, we might just keep like two bottles on hand. And then when we sell one bottle, that triggers a little message saying, okay, you know what, time for us to order another because we want to have two on the shelf at all times. So we'll do that. And then when the other bottle comes in, we'll put the bottle behind the other bottle. And so those, that whole stock gets turned, you know, at least, you know, every 40 some days or so. It's almost impossible for something to sit out on our shelves for a year. I talked with our ops manager, and he said that's, you know, he's not going to say nothing's impossible, because who knows, things can happen. But
yeah, the only time that would happen is if we did like a special order of something, or if we had some exclusive and we had to buy some huge minimum order, and we just projected and we knew we would have it for a year or two.
Yeah.
But even then, that's the longest that it would.
It's way more likely we'll have pens for over a year than inks. That's really not usually the case.
We're not hanging on to ink that long.
No.
Even the inks that we buy in batches like that, like if we have an exclusive or something, it's still turning over in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah. If we, like, obviously the inks that we keep a large amount of stock on are the most popular inks we sell. Mm-hmm. So those, we don't have a problem running through those. Like that whole selection, if we order a bazillion inks, those bazillion are going to be sold within a good time frame, because why would we order that many, right? You know, we're being very intentional about this. Odds are, if we do have an ink that sells really, really poorly and we've only got like two sitting there, the most likely scenario is that both those are just going to be discontinued and gone before they have the chance to sit there for, you know, super long. We evaluate, cancellation and discontinuation pretty frequently as well, to make sure that we don't have just dead stock sitting out there. So
yeah, it's like every 60 days, basically, we look at what's selling, what's not selling. We have a list. It's called an ABC analysis for anybody that's into retail nerd stuff. But we basically, like, you know, there's something called the Pareto principle. It's the 80-20 rule. So it's like 20% of our products might be like 80% of our sales. It's not quite that much, but like basically you have certain things that are super popular and everybody wants
A products.
And then you have this like long tail of, you know, individual items, thousands of SKUs of the stuff that does not sell that fast, but, you know, we'll sell a few and enough to keep it, you know, in stock for a while. So it's actually not the stuff that like we sell a ton of that sticks around for a while, because that is just turning over all the time and we just order a ton of it. They usually keep more of that in stock. Manufacturer makes more of it. It's all the stuff that is like more obscure, you know, the deep cut, you know, Ink Studio inks.
I was about to say, like maybe one of those, like, you know, a random Ink Studio blue or something that.
Yeah, it's like 100 colors of Ink Studio and a bunch of numbers, and like certain ones are going to be more popular and other ones are going to be just totally overlooked. So some of those might sit there for a little bit. But again, like Drew said, we just keep lower quantities of those, so nothing's sitting around too long.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. If we lower our quantities enough, then we're only turning over one or two bottles, as opposed to, you know, ordering like 16 or something crazy like that. So we spend a lot of time making sure that that's accurate. And I don't mean we, I mean our other team that are way more knowledgeable about that than I am. But I am consistently impressed by just how intentional that whole process, like our warehouses, we're extraordinarily proud of it. And we're extraordinarily proud of everybody that has even a little bit to do with how things operate back there, because it is not only impressive now, they are so dedicated to continuing to improve. It's just like every time I hear about the things that they're doing back there, it's just staggering. I'm very proud to be a little bit of a part of that.
And it's not just ink bottles too, it's ink samples, because we make our own samples as well. So we have to manage all of that stock too. So that is a whole other thing that we get to manage. But it's kind of the same principles though. You know, we that is interesting because we have to kind of make it up essentially in batches every time because we decant it from a whole bottle. So we have to at least use a full bottle at the time that we make the samples. So we do have to kind of have a schedule of when we, and there's all kinds of software and stuff that we've used to help manage all this with 800 plus colors. It's a bit to keep up with. So yeah, we do that for the samples as well. But, you know, kind of like Drew was saying, it's like, you know, I would nuance the response of like, there's a shelf life to ink. There is no like expiration date. Like there is no, there's nothing communicated from the manufacturer to say like ink should be used. There's no best buy date. There's no expire. So like, yes, in theory, ink will degrade over time, but there's no like set time frame.
It would take years to notice something.
Yeah. And I have inks that, I mean, literally when we did the dark lilac stuff, not long ago, that was what, 8 years ago, the ink was perfectly fine.
And it was left indoors in an air-conditioned space away from sunlight. So it had not been opened.
That's where I'm going to get... Well, it had originally been opened, so I had used it back in the day. So yeah, I do have some nuances there. So I will say bottled ink is mostly going to be fine, especially if it's unopened. So like for us as a retailer, we're not opening up these bottles of ink before we sell them to you unless we're like checking them for a color change or something random, you know. That is
even then
rare.
We would probably ink sample those.
Yeah, we might ink sample those. Yeah, we're not like opening up inks and then putting them back on the shelf to sell to you all. So the stuff that you're getting from us has been sealed and not open, basically.
Yep.
Ink cartridges, though, I will say, have a bit less of a shelf life to them because
those evaporate quicker.
Yeah, because of the type of plastic that's used to make those cartridges. The cartridges are meant to be disposable. I will say it depends on the brand of cartridge too. There's certain ones that like use different thicker plastic or whatever. Like those platinum cartridges are like impenetrable. Like they're so tough.
And the bearing is metal that you have to puncture. So.
That's right. That's right. So it's pretty durable. But your typical standard international cartridges. Those can evaporate, not even being punctured, but just, you know, literally the plastic will leach, you know, moisture out of it over time and can actually lower the ink level in the cartridge, which then that's a little tougher to deal with in a cartridge because it's harder to like reconstitute it. You can, but then it kind of defeats the whole utility of using an ink cartridge.
And when you're reconstituting an ink that's evaporated a little bit, you have to kind of continuously check it to make sure it's the right shade. And you can't really do that with a cartridge.
I mean, you can, if you're not going for like hyper accuracy of color, you're just trying to get close enough. You can, I mean, you have a defined point to where you need to fill it back up to.
That's true.
And then you just kind of shake it up and put in your pen and just go on your merry way.
That's a good point.
You're probably
you do have a finite vessel.
With a bottled ink, it's actually a little tougher because not all bottled ink is filled all the way. So if you have an ink that's 10 years old and some of it might have evaporated out, or say you used a bunch of it and some of it might have evaporated out, you don't really know exactly where to like reconstitute it and get it back. So you just add a little bit in, you know, use some until you feel like it's, you know, close to the color that you want. So again, bottled ink, a little different than cartridges. I would say if you're buying cartridges and hanging on to them for like a decade plus, you're probably going to maybe start to see some evaporation. Actually, I should, now that we've been in this business for 15 years, I think I probably have some cartridges that are like from back in the day. I should see if they've had some evaporation out of those.
Oh, they're probably completely empty.
I don't know.
I've had some that I've purchased within the last like, you know, probably 10 years and they're almost all empty.
Okay. I should check some of mine. Okay. So for the longest results of having your ink last a really long time, some little tips here. Drew kind of already mentioned these, but avoid heat. So don't store them in an attic or, you know, an unfinished basement or something like that. You want to keep it basically room temperature. The cooler you keep it, the longer it'll last. UV rays or sunlight, basically. So try to keep it out of direct sunlight because what happens is with almost all fountain pen inks, they're dye-based, and dye really breaks down with UV. If it's pigment-based, it does a little better. But basically, if you have a bottle of ink and say you leave it on your desk with a window right there for a decade, it's going to lighten up that color, especially if it's like a blue or something like that that doesn't have like the most, what's it called, light fastness. It's very possible that maybe the ink won't evaporate out of there if it's like sealed and stuff, but you could have it actually change color just from exposure there. And then avoiding contaminants. So basically the environment that it's in. If you're using the ink periodically over the years, just making sure that you don't have a bunch of junk in your pen, you know, paper fibers and other crud, you know, you're not like sneezing as you're filling your pen, I guess. So just avoiding those contaminants, and then, you know, evaporation. So you want to make sure it stays sealed well. And I will say, like, there are some, you know, ink samples, it's plastic instead of glass. So they're not going to hold up as long as an unopened glass bottle would. And we've already opened those because we decanted them from a full bottle. There's no way to avoid that.
So, I will say I still have some ink samples from the early, early days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's still liquid. I don't know if it's to the same level as it used to be, but
that would be an interesting test.
And now that I thought about it, like, those cartridges I was thinking of were not 5 years old, like, or 10 years old. It's not, they're not gonna be totally empty. I have older cartridges than that and they're still fine.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
I was,
you know,
thinking of something else.
When you get past like 5-10 years,
yeah,
that's when you should be starting to think, like,
you might see some loss.
I might have to take a second look at this when I actually go to use it. But I mean, I know people literally have been using some inks for like 30, 40 years that they bought back in the day, and they still use it just fine. But it's hard to say like how long they'll last, because basically inks were formulated different, you know, 40 years ago and beyond than they are today. So you can't even, it's not even really apples to apples anymore. Because back in the day, they used to things like, used to use biocides like phenol, which is a cancer causer chemical that is not used anymore. So, you know, there's stuff like that that like would be in those older inks that are not in today's inks. But the ones, I mean, based on 15 years of being in this business, I have not seen a lot of inks that, like, I mean, I hold on to a lot of inks. I probably have 250 to 300 bottles in my collection. Granted, I haven't gone through all of them to see how they've held up, but of the ones that I've had to like spot check and go back and reuse, I haven't noticed a huge change.
Yeah.
So store them properly and you'll be in pretty good shape. All right.
Okay.
Next one.
Question three comes to us from Ballet Renaissance. And Ballet Renaissance says, what pen do you wish came in more colorways?
I like that phraseology. Colorways.
Colorways, I think that term is usually used to describe like a model of something that has multiple colors to it, rather than just saying like, because it's not just one color, it's colorways, like color varieties, color assortments.
Yeah. So it's a very, I don't know the right word. I don't want to say fancy. It's not necessarily fancy.
No, I think like, I think it's accurate.
It's a very pleasant sounding way to describe that. So I did see yours that you put in here. I like what's on your list, but I did not put the things that are on your list on my list.
Okay.
So I just got to get that because I'm going first here.
I kept mine short because I thought you'd have more.
Why would you think that, Drew?
I don't know.
Okay. First one I had was maybe a little obvious, Lamy 2000.
I did not put that on my list because I knew you were going to.
Yep.
I mean, I agree.
I talk about it all the time.
I mean, it definitely should have more colors.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure. We've done some colors, but it's all been like,
can we talk to Mitsubishi editions. Pencil about that?
You know, let me give them a call.
There we go.
I'm sure that they want to hear from me above all else right now. No, I don't think Mitsubishi Pencil is going to bother with that. They're letting Lamy do their thing.
Good.
It's just like, it's up to Lamy. And I definitely have told them that like many times over, including last week. Anyway, other colors. So this one has some colors, but I think they need to refresh it and come out with some others. The Pilot Metropolitan.
Agreed. It's been years.
It's been a long time. And when they've done colors, they've always done some kind of like pattern on the center band. And I'm like, some of those, like I really like the, what is it, like the purple one, the leopard one.
There's a purple leopard and a purple Retropop.
Yeah.
So both of them look good.
Well, the Retropop is like a more vibrant purple and that looks cool. But I don't know, like the darker purple looks really nice, looks really professional. And then it's got like leopard print on the center band. I'm like, that kind of isn't my jam. I mean, I get what they're going for is like the animal collection or whatever. But I don't know. I think they could do more with the colors.
Yeah.
It's Pilot. They have a lot of cool colors. They can just do some things. They could do like an, if they could do an ombre on a Metropolitan, that'd be cool. Next ones, I should say. Basically all the like Pilot custom series, like the A23,
definitely.
Yeah. But then I was also thinking like, well, 743, there's not that many colors. The 912 is literally just black. They got all these great nibs and you know, the pens are nice, but I mean, they could do some cooler colors. And then more specifically, I want to identify the custom Heritage 92. It's clear demonstrator. It's the only piston pen they have. And it's just, It's never been updated or had anything done to it since we've carried the brand.
I mean, they got to let Sailor have some advantage, right?
Sailor doesn't have, I mean, they've got the Rialto, but they're not big on the Pistons either.
No, I'm saying the color variety.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the one thing that Pilot's like, nah, Sailor, you can be the best at
but
this.
But even just like a smoke translucent or like yeah. an amber like you have on the A23.
Oh, that would be
But
nice.
In the Custom Heritage 92, that'd yeah. be cool, right?
That Heritage 92 just doesn't get any love.
It's because it's the same pen as the 74, but with a piston, and it's
$100 more expensive.
I think it's like $80 more. Or something. Yeah, it's a significant enough jump. But anyway, it should get more love. But
it should.
I understand why it doesn't. This one is kind of weird. I put Lamy Vista. There's a ton of Safaris, and the Vista is really just called the Vista now. But technically, when it came out, it was the Safari Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So it really kind of falls in a Safari, but it's like a demonstrator Safari. That's why it's called Vista, clear, you know, like viewpoint. But I would like to see that in some colors, like a translucent color. You know, I don't know if that would be a Vista or be a Safari. You could call it a Vista.
Yeah.
I think it could be called a Vista and keep with the visual theme that goes along with it.
You know what I would want? I would want a transparent lavender. There was in like the mid 2000s, there was a Gatorade flavor called Rain. Do you remember Gatorade Rain?
Oh, I drank Rain.
Do you remember the light purple one?
Yeah, it was light purple. Yeah.
I want that in a Vista.
That would be nice.
I want a Gatorade Rain.
Yeah.
Purple Vista.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, Mountain Dew Baja Blast Vista, please and thank you.
I mean, why not? What is Baja Blast? The Baja Blast color, is that like?
It's like teal.
Like a teal color?
Yeah, it's like tropical.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
It's like
that would look good, actually.
Heck yeah, it would.
Yeah. What I think would look good is like the, I can't remember the name of it. The new All-Star that just came out. I really should know this. It's embarrassing. I'm going to have to look it up because I can't even remember. The name of the color of the, nope, that's not even bringing me
the seasonal one.
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
Was it not Violet Blackberry? That's the
no,
Safari.
That's the Safari. Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing.
Hold on,
I did a whole.
I'm just thinking
on
about
it.
The Safaris.
I know.
There's the Violet
did the
Blackberry All-Stars. And
yep,
the
I did
Pink
a video
Cliff.
On it.
But the All Star was
not Pink Cliff.
No, Pink Cliff was the Safari.
That's the Safari again.
So this one was the.
Well, I can't remember
crap,
this.
Crap! What was it?
I know.
I don't remember
this
it either.
Is bad.
What color was it?
Drew, I tell you, man, you turn 40 and then it's like your memory starts to go.
What color was it? I don't even know what it was.
Aquatic.
Oh, those things.
Aquatic.
Aquatic and fiery.
The grip, yes. The grip on the aquatic.
Yes.
Make that in a Vista, please.
Yes.
Please and thank you. That color right there, that's exactly what I would want to see. With black trim? I don't know. What trim would you do on that while we're dreaming here?
Stick to silver for now.
Silver would look good. Black would look good too. Either way, let's just make it happen, Lamy. Come on. What are you doing? Another one, Traveler's Pen. So they have brass and nothing else. But they also had the factory green one.
Which looked amazing.
A while ago. It looked amazing. It sold great. And it was like a special edition thing.
You kept one though, didn't you?
Oh, I got one.
Yeah, you just don't use it.
I don't use it.
Fair
because
enough.
I can't get it ever again. So
no.
I don't want to reference it. But
I
mean, I could use it. Actually, I have like three different Traveler's Pens. That would be really cool. I would love to have a copper one or like a bronze, like a different metal.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of cool. Titanium, steel. You could definitely do that. But even just like, you know, it doesn't have, it could be like a painted metal like you have with the factory green.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. You could do a lot with that. Last one I have is a Twisby Vac Mini.
Came
out with a Vac Mini and have literally never done anything else with it.
They've
done
championed.
So many, yeah.
For this before.
Yeah. It's a cool pen.
It is.
It's a really cool pen. And it's like, if you want a pocket pen with a large ink capacity, it's literally like the best design that you could possibly have.
And it goes great with the Vac 20 bottle.
100%. But I mean, it's demonstrator, so it works. I would keep the demonstrator, but you know, they've done so many amazing colors on the Eco and the 580, but just no love. No love for the Vacs. So that's on my list. How about you, Drew?
The Kaweco Lilliput. So that does have...
They've done some colors.
They have done materials.
Uh-huh.
So they've got the fire blue, they've got copper, they've got brass. I don't care about those.
Right.
I only care about the aluminum one. okay. because that one's only $60. I have the green one, and you know darn well that anodized aluminum makes some amazing colors.
You can do some cool finishes.
All they need to do is just make a bunch more aluminum ones. Get rid of those other materials. I don't care. Like aluminum blue, aluminum brown, green, they all look so good. Like purple, aluminum purple, you know aluminum purple looks so good. Even aluminum red. I don't like red colors of anything. I mean, but aluminum red.
All sport has had a red.
And it looks like amazing. Do you remember the red All-Star? That looked amazing. The ruby All-Star?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, looks beautiful.
It's incredible.
The red Arrow even looked amazing.
Yeah.
So
Ocean Blue All-Star Lamy, make that in a Lilliput. That'd be awesome.
They could sell so many Lilliputs if they just continue down the aluminum train.
Mm.
Get it going.
All right.
The Pilot Falcon. Like, this is such a legendary pen. It is like one of like the must-haves for if you're going to have 10 pens and only 10 pens, the Falcon's got to be in there. And yet, it's just, apart from the metal Falcon, which nobody wants, there's just the plain, there's this flat blue, this flat purple, like, come on. That's just not, the Falcon deserves better than that. The Falcon deserves better. That nib
could do better.
Needs a nicer home. Now, the black is classic, black with gold trim, black with silver trim. It looks good.
I wouldn't take that away.
I wouldn't take it away, no. I would take away the blue and the purple, though. I don't think they go. I don't think they go. I don't think they match the prestige. Too. Oh, there's a red. Ugh.
Yeah. The red is fine.
You know what?
The colors are fine. Like, they're
so flat.
Well, yeah.
They're so plasticky looking. I'm not into them. Like,
The hue looks okay.
The hue looks okay, but it's so flat.
Yeah.
It deserves better. The Falcon nib is such an amazing nib.
It reminds me of, like, there's this trend now with new cars. They're not putting metal flake in the paint.
Oh, and yeah. You've mentioned that.
Yeah. It's got this like wet putty look.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
So it's just like a flat color. It's still glossy. Like it has a gloss coating. I'm not talking about a matte finish on cars, but it's just like you see so many new cars now that just have that just flat kind of color like this.
How amazing.
It's fine. I guess it's more trendy these days, but I'm like.
Or just give me a black matte Falcon, please.
Ooh. With like black trim.
Yeah. Come on now.
Oh my gosh. Pilot. Come on.
The Falcon.
Come on.
The Falcon needs more love. It really does.
Oh, a stealthed out Falcon. Oh, you could call it like the Night Falcon or something.
Yeah. Oh. Night Falcon.
I don't know. What is the night version of a Falcon?
That sounds like some like cheesy 80s action hero.
Darn right.
Night Falcon.
Night Falcon.
All right. And then finally, I got two more. The Decimo, the Pilot Decimo. I love the Vanishing Point, Capless Decimo, whatever you want to call it. But
they've done a bunch of awesome colors in the Decimo, but they did not bring them into the US.
That's the thing. I know they can do it. I know I've seen
they
so
exist.
Many out there. I've seen beautiful gradient ones, green ones, mocha ones. Like I've seen so many beautiful, beautiful Decimos overseas, over the seas and far away. And it crushes my soul, my heart, and my brain wrinkles to see them because I want them here and I can't have them. All we have here is the pastels. We don't even have a black one. Come on. Like, just a, give me a black matte. The black matte is so popular. Just put it in a decimal.
I know. It's like any color that you, theoretically, I guess, I don't know how their production works, but like any color that a Vanishing Point is, you would assume could be done on a decimo as well.
You'd think.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
I think that Japan personally doesn't like me. I think I did something to the entire country at some point in my life.
Trolling you. Yeah.
And that's it. So I'm sorry. It's my fault. Because I feel like it's a personal attack on
me. I mean, even if it's not, I will blame you anyway.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. All right, finally, the E95S. I think we all agree that pen with its two color varieties, like...
They do look amazing.
They look...
They're sharp looking.
Even if you want... I would even concede to taking away the black, and if you just gave me another, like, champagne with color E95S, like the maroon and ivory, give me like a navy and an ivory or a forest green and an ivory.
Mm.
Like
you could do a lot with that champagne color.
Keep that because that's a winner.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of fits the like vintagey vibe.
Yeah, you could even go, you know, full on that and pick like, you know, the color of like some sort of olive kitchen appliance or something if you really wanted to go mid-century on it. Like I think that would work just fine. You know, go the vintage route or like a mint. I don't know. Maybe that's crazy, but... Give me something on the E95S.
Well, like the factory green like they had for the Travelers. That would work.
With gold trim?
Would that work with champagne, though?
Maybe not with champagne.
Yeah, maybe not.
Well.
You'd have to tweak the color, but you could get something that would work.
Yeah, something. Anything.
Yeah.
Give me anything. I'll be happy with it. I'm not going to complain. Okay. I'm a beggar.
Yeah, you could look for something in the mid-century, yeah, you know, color scheme and totally really come up with totally something cool. Yeah.
All right. That's my list.
Awesome. These are great ideas. We should make all these happen.
Yeah. Let's
because do that. We are totally in control of that being a thing. All right. Next question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sunny Kumar says, tell about Lamy cursive nib. Can we change with the Lamy normal nib? So just tell us what's going on with the cursive nib.
I will. Now, the Lamy cursive nib is a black Lamy nib, only sold separately. You cannot buy this nib on a pen.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I think there may have been some limited editions that had it installed. In the US, it's only available separate.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, this nib can be easily installed onto any pre-existing Lamy pen as long as it doesn't sound like Lamy Schmooshmausend. If it doesn't rhyme with that, then you're good. So this nib immediately looks vastly different than the standard Lamy nibs. And it's because it was made for a different set of characters, you know, non-Latin characters or whatever.
The non-romantic languages.
Yes. So there's a lot of details in it that I'm not going to expose my ignorance on. But suffice to say, it is designed to meet the requirements of Hanzi, Kanji, Kana, Haiti, Mingi, Sanskrit, Hangul, and Arabic, allegedly. So
I know what all of those are.
Yes. Totally. I'm sure I know an equal amount about them as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Lamy had completely designed the tipping material and the shape of this nib to accommodate these languages because most fountain pens are not made to write these languages, apparently. So the nib looks as though it would provide some line variation. It really doesn't. We've used it extensively. We were thinking that that would be the case, and we did not find it to be the case.
Well, that was kind of when they first were introduced. This is like during COVID, yeah, too, so communication was challenging to begin with. It looks like because of the kind of like almost like cutout looking kind of shape of it.
Generally, when you get a really thin nib.
Yeah, the assumption was that it would be a flexible nib.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
It's a nail.
It, you know, if you bend it, you're like, oh yeah, I can get some variety. Go back and put that same pressure on a standard Lamy nib and you'd be like, oh,
the exact same, yeah.
Oh, wait, this one does it too. You just kind of expect it. So you kind of like, oh yeah, it bounces. Yeah, you kind of know though. The big difference is actually the tipping material. The tipping material is noticeably different. If you find a zoomed in view, which I unfortunately don't think we have on our website, you can notice that the tipping material, rather than being just a standard ball shaped thing, is actually a little bit of a wedge. If you've ever seen an architect nib, you'll see that they kind of curve and then sort of flatten and then curve back. It's not as extreme as an architect, but that's kind of like a close sort of approximation for you. It does have a more flat or kind of bladed line as opposed to the standard Lamy nib. So they did manufacture the nib to the specifications of these written languages. So it is definitely different. But if you were curious about this nib to see if it would just be fun to write with, I wouldn't really hang your hopes on that. Like, yes, you will get slight line variation with your upstrokes and your side strokes, but the thing is, if you're writing in print, you might see that because you're going to get, you know, side lines and, you know, you're lifting your pen a lot. If you're writing cursive, like standard, you know, the cursive that we use in America, you're not really going to see the line variation.
No.
So if you're going to have traditional U.S. cursive-ish or, you know, U.K., just English cursive, this nib is kind of going to be wasted on you, to be honest.
It'll be more aesthetic.
Yeah. It looks cool. It looks freaking cool.
Yeah.
But it's made with a practical purpose in mind. Like, keep in mind, this is Lamy. This is Germany. This is not Italy. They're not going to just kind of like come up with some really cool story that's got this, you know, extra bonus feature that you really don't need, but it's super cool. That's not what Lamy does. So this is practical. This is a fountain pen being utilized as a tool. So if you know and are ready to write in one of the languages I mentioned here, then boom, go for it. The cursive nib is for you. If not, and you just think it's cool, then great, sure, buy it. But don't expect a big, you know, noticeable difference in its performance and how it puts a line down on your paper.
I have nothing to add.
There we go. All right.
I did shoot a detailed, because I was trying to remember, I was looking up, I was like, I know I shot a detailed video of using this nib. I don't think we ever published it though. Because
I think we might have sent it to Lamy. I think we might have.
I think so. I think we were given one nib as like a, like this is before they were fully available, just to get like some feedback and kind of play with it and stuff like that. So I shot like a very run and gun with my cell phone kind of video just for our team and for the folks at Lamy to let them know my feedback. But we never published it.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, so it's weird because like I remember shooting it. I remember talking through all these things, but it's not anything that's publicly out there. But you covered it all.
Yeah.
It's a, yeah, for those of us who are writing English longhand font.
Yeah. I wish there was a more exciting answer for you, but yeah. It's not. It's a very practical.
That's why it doesn't get a whole ton of buzz. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not really for our market.
Nope.
Honestly.
That's okay.
But so it's
just,
still available.
Just like Lamy also makes left-handed nibs. And if it's for you, then great. But if not, why would you buy a left-handed nib?
Yeah. Because it's different, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
All right. Question last, number
last,
five.
Last question.
Taking
today.
Us home. Mm. GG01807 writes in and wants to know, Brian, your dream pen collab, if there could be one. Now, I was very happy that Gigi wrote in to mention this because in episode 129, Janaea and I went through our dream collabs. And not surprisingly, I mentioned Baja Blast that episode as well because I wanted a Frito-Lay or PepsiCo collaboration with Benu so that I could see, you know, some Cheetos pens, some Baja Blast pens, some Pepsi, some root beer, like basically all the food items that PepsiCo is in charge of, which includes Quaker Oats because I want Quaker Oats embedded into a Benu pen. We went full depth. So if you wanted to check out my answer and Janaea's answer, you can click on episode 129. But while I was there missing you, longing for your detailed answer, I was thinking, yeah, man, it's kind of a shame that Brian's not here because I'd be curious to know what he... But then Gigi shows up and is like, you know what? I'm going to ask again. And here's your opportunity, Drew, to hear Brian's dream collab.
Oh, boy.
Don't disappoint me, Brian.
I'm going to disappoint you. Because I was purely thinking of like collab between different pen companies. I wasn't thinking about like the world at large.
That could work. As long as it's an amazing answer.
That I'll now have to like come up with on the spot. I even watched that episode, but I didn't make the connection between this question and what y'all answered.
Yeah, because I didn't write anything down because I'm like, I already said this.
Yeah, you didn't write anything down.
All right, well, give us your fountain pen
collab. Flying solo on this one,
Drew. Give us your
fountain
pen collaborations and then we'll... Okay. We'll workshop this a little bit.
See if we can get me
there.
Yeah. So, and again, I didn't even have like the best, most thought out answer for even this one to begin with. I was hoping you might carry the weight on this one a little bit with me, but you just left me hanging out to dry. That's fine. That's cool. I'm a big boy. I can stand on my own 2 feet.
Trying to keep the coffee in.
Yeah, I think Pilot, specifically Namiki. So Namiki really only does things with itself, right?
Yeah.
So like not a huge range of pen types, pen features. It's really about the artwork and the craftsmanship. And I get all that. I also love that custom Urushi nib.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to have that nib with the QC that Pilot and Namiki are known for and some of that beautiful Namiki Maki-A, but on a different pen.
Okay.
That would be a cool collab. That's what I was picturing with collab is like merging together two different brands that probably would never work together, but try and make something happen.
Pilot and Namiki might work together.
They would, yes. They do, actually, already. I would marry them up with Visconti because I think Visconti...
There we go.
Visconti has the inspiration, the romanticism. They got some cool innovations.
Now we're talking.
You know, but marrying that together with all the wonderful things that Pilot Namiki brings and some of that artistry as well. I mean, they're both very artistic cultures, but in a different way.
Yes.
Right? That would be really cool. I love the Hook Safe Lock. I think the Homo Sapiens, like, format of pen is awesome.
So would you want, like, an Urushi Homo Sapiens?
See.
Or just the nib?
That's
it. You just want to slap a Pilot nib on a Homo Sapiens?
That would be amazing. I really like the lava of the Homo sapiens. Yeah. So I don't really know.
What about a lava emperor?
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Just a rock.
That would be a big pen. That'd be a heavy pen. But then, like, how would you incorporate Machia into that? I don't know.
It wouldn't.
Maybe the size of an emperor. We're talking different pens. Yeah, that's true. So definitely there's something there. And I threw Lami in there too. I was like, Lami would be cool to work in there somehow. And I was trying to think, like, how would that work with either one of those? I don't really know. Because Lami's just like clean lines, very design focused. Like, they're intentional with their design. I appreciate that. But then I'm like, I don't know how I would marry that up with Visconti.
I've seen some Urushi safaris, and they don't look bad.
Oh. I mean, I guess you could put Urushi on
anything. Absolutely.
And it would look cool. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of like with Namiki. It's like you could kind of marry that up with anything. Mm-hmm. Like a Machia Lami 2000, that'd be kind of tight, you know? Lami 2000 with that custom Urushi nib on it. That would look ridiculous.
That's not weird.
That would look ridiculous. You'd have to make the Lami 2000 like 3 times thicker than it is.
Yeah. Or at least the cap would be all bulbous and fat like a light bulb.
That'd be pretty weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was a very half-formed thought. That's kind of the best of what I have. But
so let's think about brands outside of fountain pens that you personally would endorse. What's that t-shirt you wore the other day with like...
Odie's Oil?
Yeah. What?
That's like my woodworking oil finish company.
All right. No, not that.
I don't know how you would incorporate that.
All right. Let's see. What's your favorite power tool company?
I like a bunch of different ones. Milwaukee's good.
Okay.
I like Milwaukee, but I don't identify with
how would
like
Milwaukee brand a pen?
No, let's go with like Lego.
Okay, Lego. There we go.
Would be cool. Like Lego, I could get behind.
Yeah, Lego fountain pen.
A Lego fountain pen.
That could work.
I've built not a fountain pen, but I made a Lego pen out of Lego parts before. It wasn't great, but you could like not just like make it out of Lego pieces because then it'd be this chunky weird thing. But like, you know, have a Lego like spec, like limited edition design theme. Like I'm thinking like a Monograppa, you know, type of theming.
I bet you Banu could, if you just gave Banu a bunch of those studs, Banu. They could put the studs into a pen. They're small enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or just like a bunch of like minifigure hands.
Oh God.
Cast in the pen.
Oh God.
I was trying to think of like wood pieces are small enough that it could actually be like
hands?
Cast into a pen.
Oh. That would look so morbid. Weird.
Yeah, let's do that. Like, oh, Banu,
all those handless
a
Legos
Banu
out
with
there
with a bunch of Lego hands.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh, that's really funny. There's all kinds of cool Lego little accessories for the minifigures.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really fun.
Yeah,
like a Lego power tool because they have like handsaws and chainsaws and stuff like that. Like that'd be kind of fun. I don't know how you'd incorporate that into a pen. I don't know. I guess I don't really think about this kind of stuff.
What
very
about
much.
Like, you know, SnowRunner's Montegrappa?
Oh, interesting. Montegrappa SnowRunner. Okay.
Or what about a saxophone pen?
Yeah.
Chess pen? Oh, they do have chess pens already.
Chess pen's been done.
They do have chess
Sailor's
pens.
Sailor's done that.
Yeah, Sailor's done.
Mont Blanc had done a Miles Davis pen. That was a trumpet theme.
That's true.
It's kind of weird looking, though.
Yeah, you have
one. Like, it's interesting. Yes, it was a gift. I appreciate it because it's music themed, but as a pen, it's kind of weird.
It's got some,
but I guess you can make that argument.
It's got a protuberance.
It's got like trumpet valves on the clip.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of weird looking. I mean, it's like if you're
it's
into trumpets. Yeah.
It's a piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever. You can make that argument for a lot of limited editions though. Some
Certainly.
Of them get like very impractical and weird shaped.
The Batman Montegrappa was literally painful to hold. Like it hurt.
Yeah. There's others.
It was very like, spiky.
Yeah.
And sharp.
Yeah.
Like
the ST DuPont, like Paris with Love and like stuff like that.
Oh yeah. Some of those it's like riding like, with a
very weird. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, think about next time you come across a brand that you just wholeheartedly endorse.
I'm trying to think of like what brands do I like. I'm like looking around, like what brands do I identify with? I don't really have many, I guess.
Let's see. What about a... I'm trying to think about all your random lunch bowls. See if we can incorporate that into a pen at some point.
Or like Rubik's Cubes?
Yeah, you could do a Rubik's Cube
pen. Puzzle-themed pen?
Yeah, that would work.
That would be kind of cool. But like aesthetically, Rubik's Cubes are, you know, they're very like bright, colorful, kind of blocky. That's not... To me, that's not very appealing as a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be kind of interesting to incorporate. I don't even know how you incorporate that, but... I keep going to Montegrappa because they've done all kinds of like
that's an easy one.
Very, very hyper engineered specific limited edition stuff. So some kind of like puzzle themed pen would be
they could do
cool.
that.
Would be pretty cool. I don't know what you would do with that.
What about, like, you play a lot of tabletop games with the family, like Uno or Settlers or stuff like that?
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people would love a Settlers pen.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would gain some traction.
That seems like a Retro 51 kind of a thing.
Probably, but unless you wanted to actually incorporate some movement into it, in which case Monte Grappa would be the place to go.
Yeah, it all comes back to Monte Grappa.
Definitely.
They're the ones that do the...
They don't fear anything.
...craziest LEs. So anyway, that's about all I got. All
right.
Sorry, I'm just not...
That's fine. They have episode 129 to go back to.
There you go. Just go back and watch that. It's more entertaining than what I just did. And if you have any feedback for us, you can always email us at pencast@gouletpens.com. That is it for Q&A. We have a special segment here where you're going to get to meet Kay, who is on our customer care team. Kay is delightful, and I think you're going to really enjoy meeting her. So without further ado, here's Kay.
Andrew,
of course.
Thank you, Brian and Drew, for introducing Kay and Drew. I'm going to say Kay and Drew because Drew and Kay kind of... Kay and Drew? Drew and Kay?
I think it sounds cool.
I like Kay and Drew. No, because that puts Andrew in there, and I'm not Andrew. Did you know that Drew about Kay. Me? I'm just plain old Drew.
Well, yeah, you're more Drew.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, like
I feel more like Drew.
Yeah, like Drewness, but
yes.
Andrew's just so
no.
Not that it's bad.
It's Drewness. No. Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you. That is very merry. Well, thank you, Kay. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'm taking Kay directly out of doing her work at the customer care department to talk to you here. So I hope you're not calling or emailing right now because you're gonna get ignored. I'm just kidding. There are other people working right now, right? Maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. But Kay is on our customer care team, and you've been here...
A year.
Just a year. Fantastic.
Yes.
So this is kind of new, but kind of not for you at this point, right?
I mean, I feel like everything's still new, but I guess technically it's not.
I've heard you talk to customers. You don't talk as though this is new to you. You know your stuff, for sure.
Well, one can hope. I mean, I try.
You definitely do.
Well, I have great leadership and colleagues, and all of you guys are just awesome, like, wells of knowledge. So I'm just siphoning whatever.
Well,
I
no,
can.
You've picked up a ton. But honestly, there's not a day that goes by that we don't learn something.
Yes,
like there's true. Always because well, there's new stuff coming out too. Like there's never it's always learning, and
that is true.
It is. You never reach a point where you're like, oh, I'm 100% confident on that. I mean, anybody that's listening true. To the show right now knows that neither Brian nor I are 100% confident on anything.
Yeah.
But as a collective, as a community, we can get there usually. So that is fine. So yeah, customer care specialist, right? Is that?
Customer care specialist sounds so
customer care fancy. Ninja customer
yes,
care
I like that
yeah
yes
some
like
companies
that.
Do that as like a buzzwordy sort of
yes.
thing they'll put that in there
yes.
So let's see, what sort of industry were you working in prior to the Goulet Pen Company?
Ooh, so yeah, I was prior to coming here I was in healthcare, government healthcare. So,
fun.
Yeah. Well, I will say, like, I mean, I enjoyed what we do. It's just, it was, you know, it was a lot. And I honestly probably still be there. It was just this whole government contract thing. So it just never panned out. But,
yeah.
You know, it was a learning experience and we got to help people.
There you
and,
go.
You know, and then after that, I did bank card services.
Fun.
That was
my last job before coming here was an absolute nightmare, so I get it.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. What if you had found pens when you worked there? Would it have fixed everything?
I think it would have helped because fountain pen writing can be a therapeutic experience.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think it would have helped, actually, had I known about the whole fountain pen thing.
I think
at
about
the time.
That a lot.
Yeah.
I think, obviously I still would have left, but I feel like, man, it would have been much more bearable if I could go back in time and give
That's
Drew
true.
Some fountain pens.
That's true.
What do you write with the most in terms of the old FP?
So right now I'm writing with a Diplomat Magnum.
Nice.
In a fine. You know, I'm still a beginner in a lot of ways. So I'm still kind of testing out different pens, you know, kind of the ebb and flow of what I like, what I don't like. But yeah, that I have like a Pilot Metropolitan and a stub nib. I have a Benu Euphoria, which I love.
Which one?
A lot. The Vodka on the Rocks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's
that one's like the most sparkly the Benus.
Yeah, like I have to be wide awake before I start writing with that. Like I have to be fully caffeinated, but it's just loud. Yeah, it is. And when I first came here, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like a unicorn. Like it's just amazing. And like now, like my tastes are kind of gradually gone into more of the more subtly pretty.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Like I like more subdued, more, you know, so yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I surprised myself. I was like, oh, okay. Like, ooh, that's loud. But, you know, I like something maybe more girly, subtly girly, if that's a thing.
No, I got you. No, that's certainly a thing. Yeah. Depending on what sort of girl you are, obviously. let's get into the big topic. She just told me, like right before we sat down, so after you've been here a year at the Goulet Pen Company, you get a little store credit for you to get yourself a fountain pen.
Yes.
And you haven't pictures yet.
No, I have not. I've been, and it's crazy because we handle tickets like this all day.
Yeah.
And like now that I'm in that position, I'm
you tell people how to pick their first fountain pen.
I know.
And here you are.
I'm struggling.
You gotta tell yourself.
I'm struggling. So I'm like, oh my God, like I'm looking through the site. And I'm like,
all right, how long have you had the store credit?
I mean, I had it for a while, but it was
talking
like,
weeks.
Well, I think it's a combination of two.
Wait, but you still have your 90-day credit too?
Maybe.
Okay. Oh my goodness. You are just paralyzed with decision.
I know.
We're gonna bring everybody in here. Let's help Kay decide all right. So you said you were going between two pens majorly,
yes.
Right?
What were they? I need y'all's help. So I'm thinking between the VAC 700. I love the iris. I love just that.
That's
pretty,
a good pen.
Yeah, the coloration. It just looks so awesome. And then I'm actually leaning more towards an Opus 88 demonstrator. Like I think like it's kind of like, I don't want to say the underdog, but I don't really hear much about it. We handle a lot of returns. I don't hear anything. We don't get those backs, I'm like, and they're so far from what I've seen and heard, like they're awesome. You get that great ink capacity, but I'm just like, I mean, it's more of a utilitarian, just very,
yeah,
you know, it's not like a flashy pen, but you get that ink capacity. I'm not too.
Well, both of these pens are heavy capacity pens.
Yeah, that's true. But that VAC just whoosh, like you just get instant
yeah.
ink. And then like the eyedropper thing, I'm like, a little hesitant about that. But other than that, like, I'm sure it's like, you know, straightforward.
Yeah, the customer care team here loves Opus 88 for that reason. Yeah. That case, like, they don't come back. They don't get returned. So customer care is just like all about some Opus 88. Yes. Especially Jessica.
Yes.
Jessica's a huge, so yeah, she's probably, I'm like, all right, I hear you. Yes. Is this Jessica talking or is this Kay?
Well, she even let me play with her. So I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah, they are really nice. And they're well made, they're reliable.
The nibs, I'm like, oh gosh, so I'm just stuck. Like, I'm just torn. You guys help me out. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could get both, but I don't want to be greedy. So I'm kind of just,
Have you tried to say like what you would tell a customer if they were having the same thing? Have you kind of taken yourself out of the equation?
So that is a good take on it. I mean, I guess it could be like,
because you literally do this every week.
I know. And it's like the irony. I'm like, okay, I don't know.
That is so funny.
It's like the aesthetics. Okay. It's a lot.
I don't want to stress you out. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
It's okay.
Well, I'm sure that you will have some feedback here. Yeah. At least, what do you think between a Twisby VAC 700 mm-hmm. versus an Opus 88? You know, we'll stick with that because either of those are great choices for real.
Yes.
Fantastic. What ink are you currently using right now?
So I'm kind of, I was using Urban d'Ancre.
It's Rusty Anchor, but it's like Rui d'Ancre. I can't pronounce it. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, it's like a peachy pink
ink. Do you like that?
I do.
That's a very polarizing ink.
I know.
A lot of people think it's super ugly.
Really?
Yeah, but a lot of people really, really love it.
I think it's pretty. It's not too peach. It's not too pink. It's nice. You know, other than that, I love the Monteverde Horizon Blue. Blue Horizon. I always get the
Horizon Blue.
Yeah, I love that. I just love it. It just flows.
That is an amazing blue. And
I love
it. Bright.
It is
very bright.
It's easy to clean, and it just flows. It's like magic
inside. I think it has to be their most popular ink, right? Like
I would say.
It's up there. It's definitely up there, yeah, for sure.
It's really good.
So I'm going to tell a little story about Kay. First time I, like, one of our first week that, okay. Kay was okay. here. So we have an arcade machine here.
Yes.
And it can play just about anything, Super Nintendo, Nintendo, arcade. And no one uses it. I put it together. You know, Brian, you know, bought it. I assembled it. And we were so excited to debut it. And since then, like, you got, like, two people to play it. And then Kay gets hired. And then all of a sudden, this dormant, sleepy arcade machine is all of a sudden awake. And I see that someone was playing Mega Man 2.
Yes.
And I stopped what I was doing. I was back there getting coffee. I think I just left my coffee on the counter. And I rushed out. I was like, who was playing Mega Man 2? Who was playing Mega Man 2? Because Mega Man 2 is my favorite Mega Man game.
Yes.
One. And Mega Man, just like whoever in this building is playing some Mega Man on their spare time, like, deserves a high five from me. I find out that it's the new girl. New girl's all up in some Mega Man 2.
I love Mega Man.
That, I'm like, it's... so immediately I was like, oh my gosh, you are amazing.
Thank, like, you. It's nostalgic. So, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was just like, what? We have an arcade here? And at that time, I was new. I was training. So I didn't, not that I didn't have much to do, but I.
There was more time.
Yeah, I had time. So I was like, dude, I'm going to, like, play games.
Yes.
Like, who gets to do that?
And Mega Man 2, to me, is like, it's that perfect difficulty. Because Mega Man 1 is brutally punishing. Mega Man 3, you introduce the slide and the charge. So it's a little, no, sorry. 4 is the charge. 3 is the slide. They get a little complicated. 2 is just, it's simple, but it's not as brutally punishing as
true.
1.
That's true.
So,
dang, I forgot about that. That is true.
Yeah, so they get, I mean, nothing wrong with the slide. Mega Man 3 is solid, but then you get to 4 and you get the charge and it just gets,
I just, from
there, I just go to Mega Man X.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, Mega Man 2. Yes. Kay is cool.
Oh.
So, and there, you do jump into other retro games as well, which is something very, very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, I mean, because I came up at around the time where the 3D, more of the 2D platform was, you know, like the first Nintendo and Genesis. I love Genesis. Yeah. And
wait, were you a Genesis kid over a Super Nintendo kid? You were?
Yes, I was.
See, that was an elementary school source of contention, you know, like
really?
The Genesis kids. Aww. Oh, yeah, because everybody thought that their system was the best because there were very few kids that ever had both of them.
That is true.
Very few.
That is true.
So if you were a Genesis kid, you're like, Mario, I got Sonic. He's like blast processing. You see all the commercials.
Remember that? Yeah, because it was like TurboGrafx-16.
There was this huge marketing feud where like Genesis was putting out commercial that says like Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah, it was a lot of beefing back in the day.
Yes.
But like I guess because I was more, I mean, I guess I had the Genesis, but the games really make the system. So I was just like I was playing a lot of, you know, Sonic and I don't know, like what? No, Battletoads was Nintendo, wasn't it?
Both of them had Battletoads.
Yeah, like just Genesis. I don't know. I just lean more towards Genesis.
There are some classic games on Genesis. Genesis had a better Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I still prefer to play Earthworm Jim on the Genesis.
Oh, I remember
something
that.
Something about the music on that, yeah.
Dang, but, you took it way back.
Yeah. So knowing that... wait, hold on. Real quick. Who's your favorite go-to Street Fighter character?
Okay. So I want to say...
Because I've seen you wear some Street Fighter merch, so I know that you have an opinion on this.
Yeah. So I like Ryu. I do like him, but I will say that my second one will be Sakura. Because she was in Rival Schools. I don't know if you remember that game.
I'm aware of it.
Okay,
There was a couple characters that came over from Rival Schools into Street Fighter. Okay.
I liked her because she's just like...
Well, she's like Ryu Jr.
Yeah, she's like mini Ryu. So I was like, I like her too. But yeah, I will say Rival... I will say, you know, definitely... Ryu.
No, those are great answers.
Ryu and Sakura.
I mean, Ken is still better than Ryu, but whatever. Yeah, we won't get into
that. He's faster, but he's not as strong.
He's got more personality.
Yeah, that's
the point.
That's true.
You know, Ken and Ryu are kind of like Michelangelo. No, sorry, kind of like Leonardo and Raphael.
That is
like,
true.
You need them both.
Yeah, they're opposite
sides. One of them's a little bit more,
like, no,
you know, hard and fast. The other one's a little bit more of a loose cannon. But but they make each other whole.
That is true.
Yeah, like Wolverine and Cyclops.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Same vibe.
I get that.
You need them both.
That. I do. Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely.
That is true.
All right. Question about kind of being within the nerdy hobbyist zone before coming into Fountain Pen. So for me, I was, you know, kind of a nerdy sci-fi hobbyist before I got into fountain pens. So the hobby itself didn't really surprise me because, you know, I was collecting comics. I kind of was involved in that. Do you find that the learning about the community and the depth of the community was a surprise to you, or was it kind of less a surprise to you? Because some people, it completely catches them off guard.
I would say it was a huge surprise, but it was surprising in a sense where it's just like wow, like this is a thing. Like people are really into it. And it wasn't until like I started experimenting and getting hands-on with different pens, like I started to get it and it started to click. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like this is just nice and smooth. And this is a little bumpy, but not in a bad way. It's just, you know, it's you know.
Like, the old scratchy versus feedback.
Like, would you like a skinny pencil point as opposed to like a duller pencil point and that sort of thing. So it's just like a whole new world. Like, you know, like, I don't know, Aladdin, a whole new world. Like,
yes,
I was
exactly.
just like, yeah, it's a lot. So I was just like, wow, like, it's just a whole nother thing I never knew existed. So I was just like here for it.
Is it still funky or has it normalized yet a year in?
It's I would say normalized, but at the same time, like I'm learning something new every day. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
It is. It's just like we get a lot of hands-on with different things and it's like we're learning with you guys. So it's not,
100%.
Yeah, it's awesome. And
every person you help is kind of like an educational opportunity.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Like I'm having a blast and I'm writing with different pens, different inks. It's a rabbit hole. It's so much. It's just like, whoa, like it's a lot, but it's awesome. I'm having a blast. So
do you have any personal rabbit holes, like hobbies that you've kind of really gone deep into?
It's hard. I would say, aside from video games, maybe I do make like salves. I know that's like way off topic from fountain pens.
Tell me more.
It's like I like getting essential oils.
Yeah.
And
you like mix them together?
Yeah. Like
really?
You can like for therapeutic purposes.
Oh, that's definitely
topical.
A rabbit hole.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
definitely
it's a
rabbit
lot,
hole.
But
yeah.
It's something I like to do when I have time. But other than that, I'm trying to think. I'm kind of boring.
No, dude, that's super interesting. I bet your house smells really good.
Well, yeah, I try. But other than that, yeah, but like I like salves and I don't know what else.
That's fun. Do you watch YouTube videos on this and stuff?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, like YouTube videos, like holistic channels where they talk about like, you know, topical things or, you know,
oh, that's
I don't
fascinating.
Know. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's a lot that goes into it. But when I have time, you
right.
know, I try to... You know,
that's
in that a bit.
That's the big question is time. Yeah,
yes.
I find I just have to stay up really late, more late than I probably should to, cross off my list of hobbies. But I still do it. I'm like, that's fine. I'd rather be able to cross off my list of video game playing than have a healthy amount of sleep.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you got to make the time.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, that about does it. Do you have a favorite movie real quick?
Oh, gosh. I have, well, this is on my bio anyway, but I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd. Like, I love Lord of the Rings. Like, that's just, it's just amazing. I don't know. That's
all right,
so
who's your favorite, horrible Lord of the Rings character?
Horrible?
And who's your favorite awesome Lord of the Rings character?
Oh, man.
Like, not necessarily a villain, but definitely a jerk.
Okay.
Jerk / villain.
I guess Saruman, he sucks.
Yeah, but he's good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's good at it.
And then my favorite character? Oh, this is hard. Oh, man. Oh, this is a hard one.
Okay, you don't have to.
Well, I like Aragorn because he's just like that typical hero type guy. But
absolutely.
But he's kind, he's nice, and, you know, he kicks butt. Like,
heck yeah, he does.
He's dope, you know, but like...
Super dope.
Yeah, and Legolas is cool. I can't really...
No, Aragorn's a fine answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine answer.
He's rad. So other than that, I mean, like, I just love Lord of the Rings. I do. I don't know if they're going to pick up the series again. Did you see that?
No.
You didn't see
the Amazon series?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Should I? Okay, maybe
well,
not.
I think it was a valiant effort.
I'd heard mixed things, yeah. You know, so I'm like, maybe I should just go watch the trilogy again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might.
Okay.
I mean, if you're bored, you know, you can check it out. And
yeah.
Just, yeah, but I mean.
Okay. All right. Loud and clear, Kay. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, that's about it. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having
me. I appreciate
it.
Like, if you have emailed or called or hopped onto live chat, there's a very good chance you've either spoken to Kay or have had the opportunity to speak to Kay and have had to speak to another great, fantastic, wonderful member of our customer care team. But keep on trying. Eventually, you will strike the pot of gold that is Kay, and you will be thrilled because she's delightful. until then, back to you, Brian and Drew. Well, thank you, Drew and Kay.
Yes, thank you, Drew, for doing all of those interviews for the Meet the Teams.
He did a great job. And there will be more. We have more team members. I've at least got one volunteer. Jessica said she would do it. So
all right.
We're going to get Jessica in here.
I have to say, we like making the rounds.
Yeah,
the whole team.
Yeah. I've got a couple more ideas. So I want to get another three together, but they will be back.
Yeah.
They will be back.
Okay. Are you going to repeat once you go through everybody?
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind getting Rachel in here. That'd be a fun one.
Meet the team.
Yeah.
Meet Rachel.
I've got some questions for her.
She has not done a video in a minute.
Yeah. I got some questions for Rachel. Got some questions for you, too. Mind to interview you?
You can interview me.
Meet Brian.
You really haven't interviewed me.
I've got some questions.
Well, I got some answers.
I've got some. I'm wondering some things about you, Brian.
I bet you have.
All right.
I'm mysterious. Anyway, so that was Kay. Let's talk about what's happening.
All right. Most important thing I need to say. Hopefully you remember this because it's important to me. And if it's important to me, it should be important to you.
That strikes fear into my heart.
Last year.
Which is like, I really want you to have to remember this.
Last year and the year before,
mm-hmm.
I have been struggling with my garden hose. I've disliked it for quite a while.
Yeah.
I hate my hose. I replaced it with a heavy duty one, thinking it was not going to kink.
Mm.
I ordered too long of a hose, so it is unruly. Mm. And it's so heavy duty, it's like actually heavy.
Yeah.
And when it kinks really heavily, and you can't just you know, whip it into shape. You have to like go and find it and like, you know, pull it apart. I hate it.
Mm.
And I every year I'd say I'm going to get rid of it.
You probably paid more for that one too.
I did, yes.
So it's like all the more like salt on the wound.
I thought a heavy duty one would be less kinky, but it's not. It's super kinky. And no. Anyway,
didn't say anything.
I bought another one and I took a risk again. I felt kind of like, why am I doing this? But I bought one of those flat wound ones that are like lined with fabric.
Yep.
And I'm like, maybe. Either this is going to be terrible.
It seems like an as seen on TV kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, it was. It was in a small little box. I'm like, oh, what am I doing? But it can't be worse. It literally can't be worse.
Mm.
So I took it home. I have one of those like just kind of buckets in the backyard that has a hole in the bottom. You like run the hose through and you just kind of coil it into a bucket.
Yeah,
sound like
yeah.
a wall thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I threw the other one away. It made such a loud noise because it's just like ungodly, unruly, and heavy. The dogs were inside barking when I threw it in the trash. It was that loud.
Wow.
Echoed throughout the whole community. But so I coiled that into my bucket, turned it on, and when it, you know, inflated with water, I noticed that the actual hose within the cloth was pretty narrow in diameter. So it's a pretty, you know, thin hose.
Okay.
But Brian, it's working great.
Yeah?
I like my hose now. It's lightweight. I can drag it all over my deck into the planter.
How long is this hose?
50 foot.
50 foot.
Yeah. Okay. And it's just fine for me. I just need to go into the, you know, onto the porch, back deck, planter. It's great. I have another one in the front yard that's on one of those little cranky doodad wheelie things, and that's fine. Yeah. But I'm in a happy place now with my hose. I have no more hose woes, and it's a good place to be.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm just going to live in the moment. For now, just enjoy the fact that
you're in
that
the honeymoon phase.
Well,
life here.
There, it's been a
how
wait.
Long ago did you get this?
Oh, I suffered two seasons over that, two summers with that terrible hose.
With the terrible one, but the new one. When did you get that?
Oh, just last weekend.
Okay,
it's not worse, Brian.
Give it some time.
No, don't say that. It's going to be perfect
we'll
and
see.
Wonderful. Stop it.
Let's see how it survives.
Don't put that evil out
summer.
There. It's fine.
It's got to survive the summer.
I bought a kumquat tree.
What?
Yes.
Why? What is that? I mean, I know what a tree is.
So
I've heard of kumquats.
I've been wanting.
I couldn't describe one to you. They're small, right?
Yeah, they're small.
What is it though? Like, what does it taste?
It's a
fruit.
It's a citrus.
It's a citrus.
So, okay. As you know, our zone is not perfect for citrus plants.
Generally speaking, you don't think of mid-Atlantic for citrus.
No. However, this is a pretty hardy citrus tree. It's only 3 feet tall, so it's not a big tree. I don't want it to become a big tree. It's going to stay in a pot.
Okay.
It hasn't arrived yet. It's on its way here. But it is a Nagami kumquat tree.
It's on its way, so you like ordered it online?
I did.
I've never bought a tree online.
Neither have I.
But that's a thing, apparently.
Going to keep you updated. But okay. I'm going to keep it outside during the summer, and I'm going to bring it inside on a little rolly, you know, cart thing in the winter. And I'm going to hope it survives. The cool thing about kumquats is that you can pluck them right off the tree and eat them with
the rind
and everything. Yeah,
yeah,
that's where the flavor comes from. They're sour, but
okay.
I just think it's cool, and I wanted a little kumquat tree. So that's going to be a thing.
I need to see these things. I'm spending a lot of time on Wikipedia in this episode.
Yeah, Nagami kumquat. So I'm excited about that. Fastgrowingtrees.com did not have it in stock.
Oh, they're like little oranges.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to order it from fastgrowingtrees.com, and they had one that I had my eyes on for a while, but then all of a sudden it went up to over $100. So I was like, well, not going to do that. So I got one from a website called Yarden. I don't know. It's not as popular as the other one, but it was only like $75 with shipping. So it's like, all right, whatever. Not obscenely expensive. I have a pot already, so that's a lot of the expense there. So anyway, that's going to happen. I took some tomatoes out of my seed starting area, put those in the raised bed. I planted some flowers. Those are not going to do anything until the summer. And then my snow peas are coming up. The radishes are coming up. Things are looking good. So garden is happening. I'm going to try to grow some more shishito peppers. And not to eat, because last year I grew them and nobody wanted them, because 1 in 10 shishito peppers is very spicy. Not very spicy, but like jalapeno spicy.
Yeah.
But that meant that Shannon didn't want to have anything to do with them because she doesn't like spicy things. So even the chance of a spicy thing is like a no-fly zone for her.
It's like eating Bean Boozled jelly beans.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever. That's part of the fun. But I learned that paprika is simply crushed up, ground, mutilated, pulverized, powdered sweet pepper. That's all paprika is. So I was thinking to myself, what if I grow all these shishito peppers, dry them in my shed, and then pulverize them into, paprika.
Powder, yeah.
And if 1 in 10 are spicy, then maybe it'll be like somewhat spicy paprika.
Spicy paprika.
But not super spicy paprika, right?
I mean, if it's 1 out of 10, I would think that that's not.
So, I don't know. Is that crazy? Is that silly? Will that work? I have no idea. I don't even know if I possess the discipline to actually dry peppers. But
how long would that take?
No idea. I don't fully form plans, so going to do that.
How will you keep animals from eating it while it's in your shed?
I really only have mice in there.
Can eat peppers.
It's not a out there in the yard shed. It's attached to the house shed. Okay. I've seen some mouse poop in there, but it's not like a problem.
Okay.
But I don't think that I would just hang them from the ceiling, but I don't know. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I still had some seeds left over from last year, so it didn't cost me anything. So doing that, I watched Jurassic Park for the first time in quite a while.
Oh, the OG
one? The OG. I got that on 4K disc and enjoyed some Jeff Goldblum in high def.
Nice.
And that was excellent. It held up nicely.
Yeah.
All the effects looked good. That was delightful. I watched that on Saturday. I watched a little bit of Planet Earth. Did not cry this time.
If you do, that's okay.
The forest episode did not make me cry, so that's great. Continuing to play Final Fantasy VII Remake. Finished the main game, working on the DLC, which stars entirely my least favorite character from the original game.
Oh, awesome.
So that's great. But no, she's less annoying in this one, so I'm tolerating it.
Okay.
And then we started Black Sails. So we've watched the TV series Black Sails once all the way through. It is on Netflix now. So we have started a second run through of that because we finished Shogun and Fallout, which were both great.
Okay.
But Black Sails is good. It's a...
what is it?
It's a pirate show.
That makes sense. So, I was thinking along those lines, yeah. But, you know.
The cool thing, it was all shot on location. So it's all in the Caribbean, blue water, real sand. It's not very... doesn't look fake, so that's cool.
Okay.
And they combine real-life pirates from history with characters from Treasure Island. So you've got like Long John Silver and Captain Flint, but then you've also got, you know, Jack Rackham and Charles Vane and Benjamin Hornigold and Blackbeard and all those other guys. So yeah, it's pretty cool. We've seen it all, but it's been so long, enough of it has left our brains that we're still engaged. So that's nice. Woke up one morning and I said, I'm going to make some blueberry muffins from scratch.
From scratch?
Yeah. So I was like, let's see, what do we have?
Okay.
Luckily, we had everything. We happened to have some blueberries.
Okay.
I used the very...
That's an important component.
I was like, what can I do? And I'm like, oh, we have blueberries. Can I make muffins? And I started checking everything. I'm like, oh my God, I have it.
All right.
The biggest X factor was the brown sugar because it was a brick.
Oh,
like, yeah. I laid it on the counter and it was like an ice cube hitting the stone. It was...
Yeah.
So everything else went well. I had the butter at room temperature. I got the eggs at room temperature. But that darn brown sugar, I was...
You gotta like chisel it.
I did.
Like chisel a block off
of it. That's exactly what I did. I was sitting there just like... chiseling it. And then after I had done it, I got a half a cup out of the block. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like sweating, almost dying. And then I realized that the ingredient asked for me to use the brown sugar in two places. I'm like, wait, what? And I realized I didn't read it completely. I needed brown sugar for the topping as well as the actual mix. So I had to go back to the block, chisel some more out, and then I just was exhausted for the rest of the day.
Okay.
But it was good.
Was it worth it, though?
Yeah. Everybody liked it. No one complained about it. They didn't taste weird, so that's good.
Okay.
Took the dogs to get a nail trim. That was chaotic because three dogs, but we didn't lose any of them. So.
It sounds just chaotic with any activity that you talk about involving three dogs.
Most of the time, they just lay there. Like, yesterday, I was playing some video games, and they had just, like, plopped in front of me, like, vertical, vertical, vertical. Like, they had just, like, knocked each other down or something in a row of dominoes. So most of the time, no. They're just cuddly sacks of potato hair. But, the nail trim things. It's our fault. We just wait until all three of them need a trim. So it's like, oh, God, all three of them need it now. Because you can hear it. They're, you know, because we've got laminate flooring. Yeah. So you hear it's like...
How often do you have to trim those nails?
Like once a month.
Oh my gosh. So if you didn't do them all at the same time, you'd just be like...
It'd be fine.
Going to get their nails trimmed.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot. This is why I don't have a pet.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I know. well, you only hear like complaints. Like around the office, like everybody's just always complaining about their dogs. And every time I'm like...
Every time I'm like, yes.
You're nodding your head like, yep.
Say more.
Yeah.
I need to hear all of this.
The complaints are like the big moments. But sure. You know, you're not going to hear about the little kind of nothing moments. Because seriously, every day I go home, I let them out during my lunch break, and they are just the most smiley, happy, loving things in the world. Jane Goodall says that her favorite animal on the planet is the dog, not the chimp.
Interesting.
Because she says chimps, like people, can be horrible.
Yeah, kill you.
Dogs are just the most just innately loving creatures on the planet.
This is why we've domesticated all of them.
They are just, they just love. They love unconditionally, and it's just magical and wonderful.
Yeah. Don't tell me that, though. Tell me about the problem.
I'm going to tell you both.
Tell me about all the problems.
I'm going to tell you both. Do you remember when we went to Eat 33 on Staples Mill right here?
Yeah.
I went there for the second time. I had only gone there with some work people. Went back there for brunch with Shannon and Archer.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Yeah?
I got this, like, jambalaya egg scramble thing. And, oh, my God. Fantastic. We got onion rings, too, because it was lunch. Shannon got lunch. I got breakfast.
Okay.
But everything was fantastic. We had a little bit of a wait, but, oh, I was so happy we went there. So, that's now on our list of places to go.
Cool.
That was miraculous. And then, we had, you know, family dinner with our friends on Sunday night, as we normally do. We were tasked with bringing over bread, and we had decided to go to the Yellow Umbrella, which is over by Shag Bark. It's like a nice little boutique-y sort of fancy schmancy little market with all local crap. But we were like, let's buy the nice bread. Cause a lot of the times they give us like the easy stuff. And we're like, you know what, let's go above and beyond. Let's get the nice fresh bread. We went there. Mm. We saw the little basket where they have all the fresh bread, and it was empty.
Oh.
And we realized that they said, oh, yeah, sorry, we only get fresh bread deliveries on Monday through Friday or something like that. And we're like, ah, so we just went to the grocery store and got some. But anyway, we had a nice night. Archer kind of got sick that night. And so by the end of the night when we were going home, he was just a flop of nothing. So I stayed home, watched him on Monday. But he bounced back in enough time to go to his Jamestown field trip.
Oh, fun.
That my wife chaperoned. There were so many chaperones on this trip that the parent chaperones only had two kids to be in charge of. They were like, everybody wanted to go to Jamestown, apparently. So
interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty much what I've been up to. Bunch of little things, but it's been nice. It's been pleasant. Been having a good time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That sounds very pleasant.
What about you?
That explains your bullet points. I could not piece together what was happening in your life through all these various things, but that all makes sense.
It's a better hose, kumquats.
Yeah, garden updates, kumquats, better hose. Jurassic Park, Planet Earth, FFVII, Final Black Sails. I didn't know it was Final Fantasy VII.
Lame Bread, Archer Sick.
Lame Bread, Archer Sick. Dog Trim, E33. I'm like, what is this cryptic nonsense? Okay. Okay, my life has been relatively simple in the last week or so. I did hurt my back last week, and I talked about it in the podcast, but I chilled out. I took it easy. Just let my mulch sit there for a while while I didn't spread it.
I just picture you sitting like in front of the window with like rain coming down, and you're just kind of like looking longingly.
Yeah, a little bit.
At the mulch pile.
A little bit.
Single tear.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I also didn't want to hurt my back more. So that was a pretty good motivator.
Good man.
But yeah, it was fine. Like, I got a pretty strong back. So, like, it was weird that that happened in the first place. But I don't think I did any permanent damage.
Excellent.
Because here I was 5 days later working outside doing literally the exact same action that I did when I hurt my back. And I took it slow. I was like, all right, I'm going to hammer out this rebar. Just take it really
just
easy.
Just give it a little tappy.
Just take it, you know.
Tap, tap, tap.
And I was just like, okay. As I was doing it more, I was like, I wore a back brace just in case, which was unnecessary.
Do you still have the same one that you wore during the first DC Pen show that you sold at?
Yep.
That's the one?
That's the one.
Wow.
Yep. So it's like one of the ones that you would like, you know.
Yeah.
If you're like moving pallets and stuff like that.
Wow.
So yeah, I wore that. It was very sweaty. So I was glad to, after I took it off, I was like, yeah, I don't really think I actually need this now. So it was good. So I got all those beams pulled up now. They're all moved out of the way. All the rebar is up. And I've got all the mulch moved, so it's no longer in my driveway. So it's all in the general area, but I still have to take apart the playset before I can truly finish completing the mulch. But I'm like 95% there. And it's all at least where it needs to be. So I'm in no rush now. It'll all happen when it happens.
So you are not going to sell the playset?
I don't
Correct.
Think so.
Does this mean you can just use the tractor and completely obliterate it?
I could. But I may want to save and reuse some of the wood because most of the wood is still good. It's just the parts of the wood that made contact with the ground have like kind of rotted out a bit. So I wouldn't want to reuse those. But there's like beams. And wood's expensive, man.
I know, but how many times are you going to get to smash a... Come on.
I mean, it would be fun,
yeah.
Sure. But then, like, I'd have to...
Smash.
But I'd have to like, clean it all up. So if, like, I smash it into 1,000 pieces, then I got to pick up all those pieces and then...
That's just more tractor activities for you. You like that. You love making work for yourself. We have established this.
I do like to make work for myself. This is true. This is true. I'll think about it.
No,
I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything with it yet. We'll see. That is tempting. I hadn't thought about that. That would be kind of fun. If I do, maybe I'll record it.
Please.
Unless I get hurt, which could happen.
Ah!
So that's the thing. Went to the mall. Ellie wanted to get together with a couple of her friends at the mall because that's the stage of life that we're
outdoor
in.
Outdoor mall or indoor mall?
This is a short pump mall, okay. So it's outdoors.
Nice. And the weather's been nice, too.
It was nice, but it was rainy on Saturday. So
It was
slightly rainy.
Yep.
But I've had a computer that I've needed to bring in to go get fixed.
Perfect.
And that's where the Apple store is in our city. And I just am not there very often. It's a desktop, so it's like you got to lug the thing in there. And it's like in the middle of the mall, so you got to park and like haul the thing in there. So I've had it for probably 6 months needing to go to get it fixed. So I finally brought that in. And while I was there, they had the Apple Vision Pro set up there. And, you know, we went as a family, but like Ellie was there with her friends and we were just kind of doing whatever random stuff. So we kind of just like killing time so that Ellie could walk around with her friends and do whatever preteen girls do at the mall. So they had like Vision Pro demos, like guided demos to do. And I was like, hey, Joseph, would you want to do this? Because you had to be 13 to do it. And so he was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I was like, okay. I've like seen reviews of the Vision Pro and stuff like that, but I never experienced it. So I was like, we're already here. I got nothing else to do. I can do it with Joseph. It'd be kind of cool.
Have you ever done any VR?
No, literally nothing ever. No VR experience in my life. So that was new.
Yeah.
It was pretty neat.
I bet.
Not $3,500 neat. And like, and from a, like a practical use case, I'm like, I can't quite connect the dots to where that would totally be useful, but I can see the potential like of where it's heading.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of like with all VR, AR type stuff. Yeah. Like it feels a little forced right now, but I mean, I can see that as technology improves and things go in that direction, I can see it being kind of interesting. So I'm like glad that Joseph and I got to try it and experience it because he didn't know what to expect and didn't know what was happening, but he thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, it felt pretty intuitive because like you don't have any controllers. It's all with hand movements and like tapping your fingers and stuff and swiping with your hands. And it was more intuitive than I guess I don't know what I expected. Apple stuff's pretty intuitive. I'm not like a total Apple fanboy, but I've used a lot of Apple products in my life. And to me, it felt like it was an Apple product,
yeah.
Like kind of a thing. It wasn't as like heavy on my head as I would have thought that it would have been.
Nice.
Based on how people were talking about it. But I have no experience with other headsets, so maybe it is heavier than others.
I'm sure it's probably lighter than my Quest.
I don't know.
That's pretty front heavy. I mean, they've already got the Quest 3 out, and that's even lighter. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't like totally kept up with all that stuff. So I didn't have any interest in buying it, but it was just like while we were there,
yeah,
we could experience it.
I would say, like, if you're curious about that, I would say like buy the Quest first, just like see if like,
yeah,
you get into the habit of even putting it on and using it for fun.
I know I wouldn't. I know I wouldn't.
Mine kind of, you know, broke. I have one of the controllers I have to pair every time I use it.
Oh.
And so now it's like I don't use it because I don't have to do that. Yeah. So it's just sitting there, which is a bummer.
Most of the like shows and stuff I watch now, I just watch it on my phone because I just have my phone with me and I'm usually got the kids and I get interrupted. Like, it's very rare that I can like put myself in another world.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to do that, I'm going to like go outside.
Yeah. That's kind of the way I am.
Destroy playsets with trackers.
I used it for a while for like exercise stuff. Cause I'm like, if I actually wanted to play a video game, I'm going to sit down and play something with better graphics.
Yeah.
Because you know what you can wear on your head is not, there's literally not enough hardware it to run something really, really good looking.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's neat. But there's lots of other YouTube videos that talk about the Vision Pro. So anyway, just got to experience
That's cool.
So that was new. Because it's around my birthday, I had a friend who lives nearby that wanted to come over and do some woodworking. So did that a little bit on Saturday morning. I have some pictures, video stuff I can show, but I made a cutting board.
Oh, nice.
Just a small, like a little small cutting board.
You've done cutting boards before, right?
I've done cutting boards, yeah. But I hadn't done any really small ones like that. But I had some wood that worked really well. I've made charcuterie boards out of this wood for other people. The wood is called Catalox. So it's a really, really cool wood.
I think I've seen a charcuterie board that you made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I made one for somebody here as a gift. Yeah. But I'd never made anything for myself out of that wood. So I did. And now I have this little, it's like a 9-inch long by probably 6-inch, 5-inch wide. So it's like a little, for like cutting an apple, like that kind of cutting board. But it's made out of Catalox, which is also known as Mexican ebony.
Mm.
It's a Swartzia cubensis, in case anybody's curious
about that.
But it is an extremely hard wood, like one of the hardest woods in the world.
Sounds perfect for a cutting board.
Yeah, I'm not sure actually, because it's a kind of thing like the harder the cutting surface is, the more it could dull the knife.
Oh, right.
So I don't actually know how well it's going to work. So
they make
cutting boards out of bamboo, and bamboo is pretty freaking hard too.
Yeah.
Like the way they measure hardness of wood is called Janka hardness.
Well, they also, they make, those composite, cutting boards too, that are really hard. I forgot the brand name, but they're that kind of like light brown kind of mottled look.
Yeah. I don't know how hard that stuff is.
It seems really hard.
I'm kind of curious because I do use a bamboo cutting board from time to time. Okay, the Janka hardness rating on bamboo ranges quite a bit. But anyway, so if you're familiar with Janka hardness at all, Catalox is a 3600 Janka, which is crazy. For perspective, like cherry wood is like 700. And like white oak, which is pretty dense, is like 1500 or 1400. And this is 3600. It's really freaking dense and really hard.
Epicurean is the brand I was
Epicurean.
Thinking of.
Epicurean. Yeah.
It's like those things. They're kind of like.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know what the density of Epicurean is. Boy, I'm just asking all kinds of random questions.
I don't know
questions.
What the heck it's made out of, actually.
Janka? I don't even know if this measurement would be even comparable. Epicurean.
It doesn't even say what it's made out of.
Google filled in like Epicurean bamboo as a thing.
I don't know.
But anyway. Where was I going with all that? Yeah, so I made that. Y'all will see pictures of it. And the reason it looks so crazy is because it's the heartwood, which is the center of the tree. And then the sapwood is the outer part of the tree.
Oh, it's called Rich Light, which is hundreds of food safe resin soaked sheets pressed together under extreme pressure and heat. So it is like sheets of paper, pressed paper.
Interesting.
What the heck?
I've heard the word Epicurean in some other
That's
context.
That's just a brand, before. But Rich Light is the material.
I've never heard of Rich Light.
What? Rich Light.
Okay. Interesting.
Hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, so that was fun. Got to do a little woodworking. It took forever to sand that dinky little cutting board because the wood is so incredibly hard. And it's really dark, so it shows all of your sanding marks. But it turned out great. I'm very happy with it. And then, let's see here. I've been playing saxophone more. 61.5% towards my goal.
Dang, there we go.
So 61.5 hours out of 100 is what I've played so far. And then just had my birthday, which I'm keeping it chill. We're having dinner with my parents. Nothing crazy.
Well, cool. So, yeah. As long as that is what you want, that is what you should get.
Yes. It's weird with it, especially like being on a Tuesday too. It's like right in the middle of the workday. We already had the pencast scheduled and all that. So I was like, I'm just going to work a regular day and then celebrate more.
That's what I did on my birthday.
Time. Yeah.
But I've got my birthday, my technical birthday day off. I'm still going to use it at some point.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can save that. Just celebrate your birth some other time.
Absolutely.
I'll do the same thing. But I alluded earlier in the episode, I may or may not have wanted you to watch all the way through to the episode because YouTube likes that. So this is something I've been thinking about. We've been talking about it. Obviously, we've been getting lots of requests.
A lot of requests.
For the sax on the tractor.
Two of your favorite things.
Which is a weird request. There are two things I enjoy, but not in the same context together.
That's what makes it cool.
I thought about it. And I was like, well, maybe I'll do it for like a milestone, like number of pencasts that we hit. But I was like, we're not really close to any milestones anytime soon. It's like 150, but then that's going to be a ways away. That's months away. And I was like, oh, well, my birthday's coming up. So maybe I could like do a birthday gift for the pencast crowd. So, as you know, I've been practicing sax a lot.
Yes.
And I wanted to give you all a little treat. So I will say I was pretty nervous about this because I've only been playing sax for 6 months.
That's fine.
After not having played it for 20 years. And I've not like publicly performed music like on an instrument. I've sang, but I've, not on video. But like I don't know that I've ever like played music on video really. But I was like, okay, you know what? If there's ever a time to do it, let's go ahead and do it. So without further ado, I thought y'all might enjoy this birthday gift of me with sax on a tractor. So enjoy.
I got you. Wow.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I will say, I don't want you to leave any comments about the Rickroll because I want anybody else who finds the video to have the same enjoyment of being Rickrolled. So if you all, if everybody watching, if you could please contain your excitement slash, you know, distraught nature after what just happened to you. If you comment about it, please comment like, oh my gosh, I can't believe
Brian finally did it.
On the tractor, like something along those lines. Please don't spoil it, because I think that'd be even more fun if people went in kind of looking for that and then totally got it.
I mean, that's the nature of the Rickroll. You have to play it forward.
Yes. And this is like no joke. My kids for the last 2 years straight will not stop talking about Rickrolling. But to them, just like hearing the song Never Gonna Give You Up is Rickrolling. Like, I've had to educate them.
This will be a great educational resource for them.
We've watched YouTube videos about the origin story of the Rickroll.
Show them this video. Be like, this is how you Rickroll, kids.
This is how you do it.
Show you how your 40-year-old dad Rickrolls.
That's right.
Like a pro.
That's right. Now, I will also say, I actually did seriously consider getting my saxophone and playing it for this episode. I just wasn't quite ready, and I had a lot going on. So I do actually intend to do that at some point. I don't know when that point's going to be, but I will play it at some point, because I am enjoying playing it, and I'm getting to the point now where I'm like not afraid for people to hear me playing. So we'll see. We'll see when I get to that point. But I just gotta feel like I can do that confidently again. But it'll come. It'll come at some point.
And if you were in any way let down, disturbed, distraught, or in any way perturbed about this chain of events that just happened, you can't blame me, and you can't blame Mr. Goulet. You can only blame Ginger Snaps art from last week's comment section, because Ginger Snaps gave us this idea.
Gave us the idea.
So
this was from the community. That was a fantastic suggestion.
We had a lot of requests.
I hadn't thought about that.
We had a lot of requests for Brian to do it, but only one person requested that we Rickroll people.
Yes.
So we saw that, and we're like,
we do read the comments.
Oh, Ginger Snaps.
There you go. So they all would enjoy that. That's a pretty strong way to finish out. But I do have some fun facts as well. So we'll wrap this up and close out with some fun facts. All right. Want to thank you all for watching the 133rd episode. Y'all are still keeping up with it. My goodness. Leave us some feedback. Let us know how we're doing. Ask us more questions so we can keep answering them. And check out GouletPens.com for your fountain pen, ink, and paper needs. And Drew, if you remember, for your 40th birthday, I gave you some facts about 40-ness.
In 1984.
Yep. And I pulled some more 40 facts as well. I hope they're different.
With me, you did the 1984 movie quiz.
Yeah, but I think I had some other facts in there about turning 40. Or maybe I didn't use those. Maybe I saved them.
I don't think you did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I should have.
Maybe I took too long trying to guess all the movies and you couldn't actually pull from those.
No, whatever. But I have some random facts.
Let's do it.
About 40. More so about just like the number 40 in general.
Okay.
40 is the only number in English which has its letters in alphabetical order.
Whoa.
Random trivia fact.
Lordy,
for
lordy.
You. You'll seem really smart with your friends by pulling that fact out. That fact out. There we go. Minus 40 degrees, or 40 below, as it's known, is the only temperature that's the same in both Fahrenheit and Celsius. How about that?
I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah. Because they're just like on different scales, but at some point they cross over each other. Yep.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there you go. Now you know that. When the bubonic plague gripped Europe during the Middle Ages, ships would be isolated in harbors for 40 days before passengers could go ashore. The word quarantine originates from the Venetian dialect form of the Italian 40 giorni, meaning 40 days.
Q-U-A-R.
So that's
is like
why, since we've
or qua,
all been
Q-U-A.
Through a form of quarantine.
Quarantine quadrant, you know, quadrilateral. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
40 days. So due to the bubonic plague and the shipping merchants of the time, that's where the term quarantine came from.
Quart. Does that have something to do with four?
Quart, yeah. A quarter of something is 1/4.
Oh, okay. So not the actual measurement, but...
Well, a quart is 1/4 of a gallon.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking like, is it four in terms of like ounces or something like that? But that's the simple, more obvious answer.
Yep.
I was overthinking it.
Oh, yeah. And then last but not least, there are 40 spaces on a Monopoly board. Proving that life is a gamble, the game gives players equal chances, 1 in 40, of going directly to jail or winning the free parking prize. Which that is up for debate, too, is like, what is free parking? I believe the official original rules are that it's just free parking. You don't actually get anything.
That's the way we've always played, yeah.
See, I grew up playing it. It was whatever you had to pay for, like, the community chests and, like, all that kind of stuff. Any, like, penalties you had to pay, you put it in free parking. And then whoever randomly landed on free parking would get that money.
Hmm.
But then that just draws out the pain of the game.
Yeah.
We really don't understand most of the actual rules of Monopoly. A lot of people play it wrong. It's a common thing.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's also a horrible game. I like it, but it just goes too long.
It does.
Games these days, they're like designed for more stuff to happen.
I appreciate that.
And I like games where you're like, you don't just get out and then you're just like sitting there watching everybody else play. Like Monopoly's like that.
Yeah.
But it's a neat game, but get on with it already.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got for this episode, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed all the aspects of this video. And we'll see you next week. Right on.